Some of what you are about to hear might be deemed offensive by some people. If you are insulted by people arguing about the New England Patriots and pretty much anything else, or by subjects like soap with a slot, gutter cleaners, people with big heads, Bilpolian, Egypt, wedge salads, and drilling for oil, you probably shouldn't listen to PFW in Progress. But if you do listen and hear something questionable, please do not be offended. We're just trying to entertain. In other words, some of the content of PFW in Progress may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
So after we take the mug shots, we bring them on down here where they wait to be interviewed by the arresting officer. Trust me, kids, you do not want to be sitting on these benches. We call this place Loserville.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
She's actually kind of funny.
Yeah, I mean,
is she all there? Like, mentally?
I think so. It's just an odd guy. Kind of weird.
I mean, should we be worried?
No. No.
Paul Perillo.
Don't forget your Rogaine.
Rogaine. Check.
And don't forget to use it. I can totally tell when you forget your hair just looks thinner.
Using of the Rogaine. Check.
And Andy. And Andy?
You have to park so close? Yeah, what's wrong? I shouldn't be here.
Andy Hart.
Why is that? I'm not supposed to be within 200 feet of a school.
What?
Or a Chuck E. Cheese.
Eric Scalavino.
You guys might not know this, but I consider myself a bit of a loner. I tend to think of myself as a one-man wolf pack.
For now, anyway.
And 6 months ago, I thought, wait a second, could it be? And now I know for sure, I just added to my wolf pack. Four of us wolves running around the desert together, looking for strippers.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Hey, guys, you ready to let the dogs out?
What?
Do what?
Let the dogs out. You know what?
Ooh, let the dogs out. Ooh, ooh.
Yes, we are ready to let the dogs out.
Who let the dogs out?
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. It is the Tuesday after the Super Bowl, and in my opinion, it's the first time since 2004 the right team won the Super Bowl. So, Andy's looking up in the air to see, okay, who won 05, 06? No, it's the first time since 04 that the good team, the good guys won. So, there we go. All right.
Who won in 05? I can't remember.
Web radio at
Pittsburgh. Oh, that's right.
Web radio at patriots.com is the email address, 508-543-7482. We got a lot to talk about, a lot of emails. Of course, first topic is the Super Bowl. We're going to talk about our analysis of what happened and not just the game, but also the commercials. We'll talk about those, I'm sure, because we all have our opinions there. And
a little bit of Patriots news.
A little bit of Patriots news. Eric, you know, boop, boop, tooting his own horn. Big, big story.
Nothing really to toot, Fred.
You got a small horn? Is that what you're saying?
Pretty much, yeah.
We'll talk about all that stuff. Paul is eating, so he can't talk right now.
It's Fat Tuesday for Paul.
Are you going to be with us the
it's
whole
every
show?
Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Yeah.
No,
no big show this week?
No big show. Well, I don't know. They usually call me Tuesday afternoon to do Wednesday. So,
oh, okay.
But I'm going to say no.
All right. All right. So, guys.
Well, we've got weather issues tomorrow.
We do, yeah.
How was your weekend, everybody?
It was great.
Good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. Why not?
I'm assuming.
Glad the Saints won.
Entertaining Super Bowl.
Fantastic.
Very good
game.
Super Bowl.
It was
yeah.
Great game. And as I said, really, I didn't feel strongly either way for either team. And it turned out to be a great game where either team could have won it. And I'm really happy for Drew Brees. I mean, was that the best moment post-Super Bowl that you can remember with him holding his kid like that?
Yeah.
It was nice.
That was fantastic. I thought Fred for
you
sure.
You didn't enjoy that, you don't have a heart.
I thought for sure Fred was going to make one
How
of those.
How about Rodney
yeah,
with the
whatever.
Confetti and the broken arm?
Yeah, I thought this
no,
was better.
This was a million times better.
Cute little kid.
The father, his son, the moment, the whole thing.
Well, if you remember when the Giants won in...
I was welling up, Fred. I was welling up.
When the Giants won in 90, who was the... lineman who had his kid on his shoulder. Bill Burt. Bill Burt had his kid on the
Steve
shoulder.
Steve Biasi.
Jim Burt.
I knew he would go with it if I said it. I knew exactly who he was talking about.
So that was a nice moment, too. But, yeah, I mean.
Yeah, I mean, maybe I'm exaggerating the best ever, but this, to me, really, I thought that was a really nice moment at the end of the game.
The lasting image of that.
And the Saints played better. You know, it was good that. there was
after a while they
completely devoid of controversy. It was a well played. Well, I mean, it was a pretty well played game, I thought. And the better team won. The team that played the best won the game.
And well officiated, I thought.
Oh,
by and large,
unbelievable. They just didn't call anything.
Yeah,
which I have no problem with.
And the one call they did make poorly, they reversed.
Yeah,
which they should have.
Yeah, I don't even think that was a poor call. The 2-point conversion.
I think it was the wrong call.
The ball was clearly moving.
Right.
And then they saw it. You know, he didn't bring it in, so they called it incomplete.
Right.
Live. You needed replay to overturn that.
It was a good use of the replay.
It was a good use of replay and a good reversal. Other than that, I didn't really. I thought there was a picky personal foul very early in the game on the Colts, but that was it.
And the one thing I thought was interesting, ESPN was reporting afterwards that this Super Bowl was supposed to originally have been played in New Orleans. And I guess they moved it following the whole Katrina disaster because I guess they weren't sure that they'd be ready to have it there again in time or whatever. So that would have been the first time that a Super Bowl would have been won by the team in their own stadium.
Been, yeah.
But
they might not have won.
They might not have won. There. Who knows?
Yeah,
butterfly effect.
Yep. The game itself was very interesting. I thought that Sean Payton did a great job. You know, now you can argue about the onside kick to start the second half. It turned out to be a gutsy call, and it was very
Balls
successful.
Balls versus brains.
But if it had gone wrong, you give Payton a short field. So it was a very gutsy call. Apparently, he warned the refs beforehand that he was going to do that.
Yeah, I didn't know you do that.
What's
I
that?
Thought that was interesting. I didn't know that he warned the refs that you're going to do an onside kick.
Well, yeah. Don't you think that's smart?
But what if I see an official doing something different? If I'm a frontline guy and I see him lining up or doing, maybe that tips it off to the other team.
Generally, and I know that Bill has talked about this, they will talk about a trick play that they planned, maybe even before the game. Listen, we have X, Y, and Z up our sleeve today. We might break it out. I don't really think an onside kick qualifies. You know, it certainly is a surprise trick play in terms of the course of the game, but not something that you have to alert the officials about.
Because you don't need any difference from the official.
I didn't understand
he lines
that.
Up there. He starts to run with the kickoff team. He's in that area.
Yeah.
Because I guess he wanted to make sure that.
And it didn't
help.
The
refs knew that his guys were all onside, and that, you know, they didn't.
But that they do that every play.
I know, but just to pay more attention.
To me, you're not changing anything. There's an official there whose job needs to be done.
I was surprised by it, though. I
was, too. I wouldn't want to do it because, as I said, I would worry that the official would do something different that might tip it off.
Oh, yeah. Maybe he's watching more, you know, some really
changes position.
Frontline guy say, hey, why is that guy really staring at everybody?
I think Basket wouldn't have noticed because he just blew it.
Hey, listen, that to me, we're going to talk a lot about this.
Console himself in his
That to me was
boobs.
A physical mistake. He was there. He was in position to make the play. He didn't make it. That's why I say the Saints made the plays. The Saints deserve to win because they made the plays.
I mean, Reggie Wayne in the end zone. That ball went right through his hands.
Drop.
He sucked.
They had a lot of drops in that game. I thought Garcon was pure Garcon. I mean, the reason why he was a sixth-round pick out of a Division III school, you found that out. He couldn't catch the ball.
You know, a lot of people, including myself, very happy that the Colts lost, in addition to happy that the right team won, you know, because of Bill Polian and the karma that they created during the season. I think, you know, there was bad karma on the Colts side. So I'm happy that the Colts lost for that reason. But I'm not one of those people that were that elated to see, you know, Peyton Manning throw that interception. Yeah, I'm happy because I wanted the Colts to lose. But I'm not one of those people that are saying today, see, Peyton Manning's not that good. I still think he's the best quarterback in football. But.
The best? Really?
Yeah, I do. Right now, playing the best. Yes, I do. You know, that could change next year when they both take the field again. But right now, playing right now. Now, if you want to look at over the course of their career, I think that's debatable. I think I might even side with Brady over the duration of their career. But right now, playing right now, I think Manning has a bit of an edge over.
Do you mean right now?
Yes, right now. I want to be very clear because if I'm not, Andy will, you know, somehow force something into my mouth that I don't want.
Whoa! And I'm the one who crosses the line. Now he's playing the role of Eric.
Talking about words. Talking about words.
So now, does this have anything related to both quarterbacks needing to sign, I don't know, lucrative long-term extensions?
Well, I wasn't going to go there yet with that, but
you already started going there.
I'm just saying
there.
That I think that Manning played a great game up until that point. But like Paul said, it wasn't his fault that Wayne
dropped that ball. Wasn't his fault that Kyle. He was laser accurate with almost every throw he made.
I thought he played well. I don't think it was one of his best games, but I thought he played well. And I don't really, and I know I'm going to get killed for this. I really don't think the interception was his fault. I think that Reggie Wayne ran a terrible route, was very slow coming out of his break, and I thought that he actually stumbled a little bit, or he kind of made a little dip. His knees went down. I don't know if he slipped. Some people said the turf was a little wet, that maybe he slipped coming out of his break. For whatever it was, he wasn't where he was supposed to be.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
And that's clearly what Manning thought. And his reaction immediately, his post-game remarks, everything leads me to believe that there was more to that play than him making a terrible throw, that there was Reggie Wayne failing to do whatever he wanted
to do. And I also thought, you know, Boomer Esiason talked about it, said, you know, the same thing. Chris Carter talked about it after the game on ESPN, said the same thing. Those guys are football players. One was a quarterback, one was a wide receiver. They both came up with the same conclusion. To me, that is relevant.
But even good beyond morning, that,
I don't think Manning was great.
The
though.
Touchdown for Wayne.
I think he was good. I don't think he was great. I think he was good.
Really?
Yeah.
What did he? Other than that one play, what did he do wrong?
Didn't score enough points.
I know, but not. You know, he can't.
I don't think it was all his fault. I think that he had some drops, but I don't think he played a great game. I thought
if they had won that
Adai
game,
Adai played a great game. I thought.
I thought that if the Colts had won that game,
he would have been MVP.
He would have been MVP hands down.
I don't know about hands down, but probably.
Just like whenever the Patriots win, Brady's going to be the MVP. I thought nine times out of ten.
Deion Brandt, but I think other than that one play, and even if you want to say it was Manny's fault, he was perfect, I thought.
I thought he forced the ball to Cauley that Vilma was running stride for stride. Vilma looked like the intended receiver, and Cauley got a hand in to knock it away. I don't think I agree with Paul. He wasn't perfect. He wasn't bad. He wasn't terrible. And I actually think Joseph Addai would have been in the running for MVP because I thought he was the best player on the field for much of that game.
Well, he was surprisingly good considering their running game.
On pass receptions and running game, he was good.
He was surprisingly good, he was excellent in the game.
Right.
No one expected it, but he was real. I mean, he played really, really well. There was a play, and I don't know if it's the same one that, Andy, you're just mentioning with Cauley. The 3rd and 11 before the 51-yard field goal, I think, was a bad decision by Manning. And
I think that was the play, wasn't it?
I'm pretty sure
it
was.
Yeah, I think it was the same play.
He tried to force it. Mm-hmm.
I think if you're going to go, and I have no problem with going for the 51-yard field goal. I think that is getting way overblown. I mean, you got to try a 51-yard field goal. You're not going for it on 4th and 11. You got to try a 51-yard field goal. I do think it was a low percentage kick for a guy that age. I understand that. But I think that was the thing you had to do. But in knowing
that.
You're
not going for a 4th and 11?
In knowing
that. Super Bowl?
13, I
would have made sure I got some yards on that play, and Peyton made a bad decision, I thought, to go deep down the seam to a guy who was well covered. I thought there had to have been something else available to him on that play.
I thought the team made a really bad decision near the end of the game on 3rd and goal with the clock ticking. They decided to run the ball.
Yeah.
What was that all about?
That's one of those
they're
things.
They're expecting you, pass, you run.
Right.
I think both teams fell into that.
It's a gutsy call.
Fell into it earlier. You're not a running team, so don't run it. However many times they ran it on the goal line, they're back-to-back times on 3rd and 4th down. I'm not into that. You're there because of Drew Brees and your passing attack and everything. Be there because of that.
I was surprised the Saints didn't have Reggie Bush in for that 4-down.
Whatever. I mean,
series.
All their backs are athletic. Get them the ball in space, screen passes, whatever you want to do, but don't just try to man up and run it.
Yeah, the Saints needed to have a hard play action on one of those plays, and they never even tried it.
They were
overcommitting to the run in the Colts defense.
You got this offensive mastermind in Sean Payton, and the best he can come with is off-right tackle, off-right tackle, off-right tackle.
But that's another spot that I'm going to put on Manning, by the way, is after the goal line stand. And this may be unfair to put on Manning, but too often he's given credit for this, so I'm going to give him the blame when it's negative. I don't think you can run the ball 3 straight times there. I think that was ridiculously bad coaching. But Manning has so often been credited in the past with changing the calls and doing different things. Now, evidently, maybe he didn't have the stones to change a call from on his 5-yard line at that situation in the game, but he needed to because they needed to get a first down there, and to run the ball 3 times was ridiculously bad coaching by the Colts. That's just terrible football right there. You can't give the ball back. You gave him the 3 points back. Sean Payton gave you a gift by taking 3 points off the board, and you gave it right back to them. That's bad coaching. And I put some of that on Manning because I think that it's his responsibility. Like in the AFC Championship game when everybody was crediting him with changing runs and making them passes, he needed to do that again.
Yeah.
So I got to put that on Manning a little bit.
I was surprised he didn't change that play, you know. What else about the game? You know, I thought that...
Well, sticking with that series in particular, I thought you got a little Bill Belichick respect fear of Peyton Manning in that Sean Payton chose not to call timeouts, because I think his fear is, if I stop the clock, I'm helping him. He's going to drive to a field goal or a touchdown here. So he didn't take it. Ended up working out in the end, but they may have had more time had he taken timeouts. They could have scored a touchdown there and had a little bit even more momentum. But I thought he feared Manning and said, if I stop the clock myself, he'll drive it down my throat.
And one of the things that, you know, didn't get a lot of play after the game, but I thought was key to just keeping the Saints in the game, was that young kicker hitting
Garrett
all
Hartley.
Those field goals in the biggest stage.
Exactly.
That kind of, you know, that kept them in the game. It kept them scoring points and not coming up empty, you know, when they were driving the ball. And I thought that was huge, you know, to just keep the momentum from going totally to the Colts side of the field.
It's one of Stripper's guys, OU, former OU kicker.
You know? So, you know, I enjoyed it.
Did you buy lunch today?
It was a good game. I think if you look over the past decade of Super Bowls, it's been a pretty good run of games.
Well, it's nice. You know? They finally found an Oklahoma guy who actually didn't choke on the big stage and came through.
That's true. Did something.
Wow.
And it had to be a kicker of all.
Just
positions.
Kidding, Strippers. Yeah, thank you very much for lunch, Strippers.
Right.
Just kidding.
I was just going to say, we can't make fun of Strippers. He's
I'm kidding.
Nice enough to buy us lunch. What are you eating, Eric?
This is a leftover Super Bowl party pizza.
So you didn't want to have...
I had leftovers. I can't let it go much longer than 2 days.
You can't eat it tonight?
No. You want to eat my salad? Felt like having
so what
it
is
today.
That? Like,
I didn't know we were getting lunch today,
pizza
actually.
Toast? Is that what that's called?
No, it's Rhode Island strip pizza.
Rhode Island strip pizza. What the hell is that? Something you get at the Foxy Lady?
It's kind of appropriate with strippers buying lunch now.
Brought
no,
to you by strippers.
They're just strips of pizza with the sauce and no cheese.
Like pan pizza?
Sort of.
Yeah. But there's no cheese?
No. A little bit like...
Well, then it's not pizza.
Not like layers of cheese, but just like that, the little like the macaroni grated cheese.
Is that limited to a specific place, or is that
a type of
Rhode Island
pizza? That's a type of Rhode Island pizza.
It doesn't taste bad, but it's not pizza.
Well,
to me, it's own
bread
thing.
With gravy,
it is kind of its own thing. It is mostly bread and gravy.
Which is good, but it's not pizza.
It's called strip pizza.
I've never heard that, Rhode Island strip pizza.
Yeah, I've had it. Brian Morey, actually, when he was a freshman, his mom...
Used to make that?
No, she brought it from to one of our games when we were playing down in Rhode Island. They were playing Providence. Oh.
She bring garlic soup?
No garlic soup, though. No garlic soup. But she brought these huge boxes of sheet pizza from Rhode Island. And I remembered it had no cheese on it. That's why I asked if it was one specific place or...
Now, is there a story to this?
So
like during the Depression, they had no cheese, so they had to make it without or...
Don't know.
You're Mr. Rhode Island. How do you not know?
What do you got?
The head of the Chamber
of Commerce. Dianarita released
there.
What do you got?
Well, the game itself broke all kinds of records.
MASH has finally gone down, Freddie.
106.5 million viewers. The previous record was 106 million viewers for MASH in the 83.
Andy's not buying it.
I'm buying it. Well, how can you not buy it?
I'm buying it.
So Nielsen's a liar?
Yes.
They're in bed.
Or they've changed something. I said to Paul, it's like the SATs. Every few years they change how they score the SATs. So some young kid says, I got a 1500, and the old guy goes, yeah, but they changed the scoring.
Do you know anyone that
didn't
watch?
You know those tests are culturally biased?
I know like five people.
But they all watched?
Yes.
So everyone you know watched, yet you don't
just
think
say
that
you
a
know
lot
like
of people
five
watched.
People?
Eric, could you pour me a glass?
I don't buy it. The more channels, there's more people with diversified interests, and you're telling me more people now are watching than ever.
It's only a third of the country.
So? What's the change in population between now and then?
Between 83 and now?
Yeah.
Like 50 million, maybe?
It's gone up 50 million?
I think so.
And they gained only 500,000, so I guess that's plausible.
Yeah. Anyway.
I just find it hard to believe. I think all those ratings are flawed. They're all estimates. And I think they're in bed with all the people, and you pay the right person, and all of a sudden you had the highest rated show ever.
Well,
I'm a skeptic.
See, I'm a skeptic on ratings, but not this particular kind. This is just viewers. They're just telling you how many people watched the game.
No, they're telling you how many people they estimate watched
the game. Right.
But it's the same way they estimate it
all
back
the time.
In 83.
I'm not sure it is.
The things that I...
The advent of cable? There's far more cable systems now.
Maybe
it's different.
The things that I'm always skeptical of, the releases that come out after every Monday night game, you know, highest cable program in the prime time, demographic of 20, you know, whatever, 20, what is it, 23 to 54? What is it? 18 to 54?
18 to 54.
Well, is that the demo?
There are several.
And there's always
that's
like,
one of them.
It's males this or females that, and whatever the age groups. I'm always, I throw all of those out the window. None of them mean anything. But they're just telling me how many people overall they estimate watched it. This is the same estimation that they had in 83 for MASH. So to me, it's apples
but
to
is
apples.
It? How is it apples to apples when cable and dish have blown up? Because back then, somebody who might not have wanted to watch the Super Bowl didn't have as many options because not as many people had cable and dish, right? You didn't have 200 channels. So assuming you were the person that didn't have cable, you had the other two networks. Well, you know, if it was on CBS, you had NBC. Yeah. Maybe you clicked to those and said, son of a bitch, there's nothing on those. I guess I'll watch the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Now you have 600 million options to turn to.
And more people are choosing that than the option.
So the old lady who really has no care in the world to the Super Bowl can watch something else.
Well, we have someone who actually works in the industry on the phone. One of our listeners, Pete from New Jersey. I don't know if he works for Nielsen. Pete, what exactly is your connection with ratings on TV?
Well, I've been working in the
I fabricate them.
I've been working in the TV ratings industry for about 4 years. So, you know, I'm definitely not an expert by any means, but figured I might call in since it's a big news item today. And I know you guys have talked about the ratings for NFL games a lot over the years.
Right.
You know, I think the point that Andy and Paul were just making about the apples to apples is a valid one. And I kind of want to pose a question to you guys that is, I think, a good analogy. So what is the highest grossing movie in U.S. history?
It's now Avatar,
It's now
right?
Avatar, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, well,
so,
that I'm totally on board with you on this. I know where you're going. I agree with you.
Right. So that, you know, right now that's a little over $600 million in terms of the domestic gross. And, you know, Titanic was something like $600 million. Now, how far down do you think it falls if you adjust for inflation? Because obviously ticket prices have gone up a lot over that, you know, over the last 20, 30 years.
Sixth. Not just that, but
probably
also
40% because it was like $6 when Titanic came out. Now it's 10?
I think it was more
than
that.
More than that? Okay.
So do you guys think it falls to like top 5, top 10?
Top 5.
I would say out of the top.
So Avatar actually falls to 21.
Yeah, I'm not surprised by that.
And Titanic right now, which came out in 97, is at sixth place if you adjust the domestic gross for inflation.
Hmm. Yeah, it's no Jaws.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Jaws is like, you know, right up there. It's Gone with the Wind is number one. Star Wars is number two. Now, this isn't exactly the same thing as what happened with TV. But it's kind of the same analogy because there are different metrics that people use when they talk about TV ratings. If you look at the total viewers, obviously, as you guys pointed out, that's going to keep going up as the population increases.
Right.
Now, it hasn't consistently done that over the years. I mean, we had a period in the 90s when viewing kind of leveled out, and you can guess why. I mean, there were so many blowouts. The NFC won 13 Super Bowls in a row. But if you look at the actual rating percentage, so, you know, a lot of the confusion is that the total viewers, you're projecting it from the rating. The rating itself is your percentage of total people who could have viewed it who actually did view the average minute of your program. So in this case, if you're looking at the Super Bowl that happened on Sunday, it had a 45 rating. Now, the MASH series finale was like a 60 rating. So, I mean, that's a huge difference. What you're saying is that...
That's Andy's point. Yeah,
So 60% of people who could have watched MASH did, whereas this game had 45%. And if you look at the highest-rated Super Bowl of all time, you guys probably know that was the Bengals 49ers 1982 Super Bowl. And, you know, as you guys were pointing out, there were three networks at that time. So you really didn't have a lot of choices for alternatives. There weren't video games. There weren't DVDs. There weren't, you know, there wasn't video on demand.
Now, Peter, let me ask you a question since you're in the industry. And how much of this now is real numbers and how much is still an estimation? And I ask that because it seems like in this day and age where large percentages of the population have digital cable, they have a cable box that's interacting because there's on demand and all that crap, it would seem like you could get more actual numbers of which ones of those cable boxes were tuned into this game.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, there are definitely companies that are doing that. I know that, you know, Nielsen and definitely Nielsen's competitors are doing that. Now, what you can get from a set-top box is only the household viewing. You know, if you have a Cablevision box or you have a Time Warner box, those companies have the ability to see what channel you're on for how much time. They don't know who's in the room.
Right.
And since the late 70s, early 80s, all the advertising, all the television advertising has been much more targeted. You need to look at a specific demo, specific sex, and you can't get that information from a set-top box unless you do something like you model what the demographics should be. I mean, if you talk about like how hazy the estimates seem, that's even hazier.
Right.
So what you can do if you have, you know, a people meter, which is what Nielsen uses, you actually have a remote. If you're in the sample, you have a button that's assigned to you, and that has all your demographic information. You know, they can tell your income, they can tell your, you know, ethnicity, all these different things. And so that's how, you know, advertisers who, if you're Gillette and you want to target people who are going to buy, you know, the Mach 3, you need to know those specifics, those demographics that you can't get from set-top box. And, you know, I definitely hear what you guys say about it's an estimate, it's a projection. You know, I know that the Nielsen sample is something like 20,000, 25,000 people. And it's totally representative of what the country's demographics are. It really comes down to the cost. I mean, if you think about the cost to maintain a sample like that, you need to have constant coaching because people, like, you know, they won't press the button when they enter the room.
Right.
Now, it's more sophisticated technology than you might think. Like, if you're in the room and you fall asleep, the box knows there's been a certain level of inactivity, and it will stop crediting that show that you left the TV on.
Interesting.
So, you know, it's not a perfect system. I mean, I don't think any of the media research companies in the U.S. has a perfect system. You know, I will say this, that all the big companies work with all the networks, all the advertisers. You know, if anyone were in bed with anybody, I think that everyone else would cry wolf and there would be mayhem. Right. And it's happened before. And I mean, I know there have been cases where, you know, like you look at the big three cable news networks, you know, Fox News is never going to be happy if CNN is increasing and they're decreasing or vice versa.
Right.
So anyway, you know, I don't mean to go on too long, but just wanted to kind of like jump in and add a little perspective. But I mean, do you guys have any questions about things that you've heard from fans?
Can you buy us lunch sometime?
I'm only kidding.
I actually probably owe you guys.
No,
I think you actually do, Peter.
You just did enough.
We appreciate that. That helps because that kind of validates a lot of the stuff that we've been talking about.
Yep.
Yeah, and just one quick thing, really, just to the end. There are there's so many factors that go into why one game is higher rated than another. You know, you look at this big storm that hit Washington, D.C. over the weekend. Mm-hmm. If you look at the top five markets for this Super Bowl, Washington, D.C. was number two. So it was New Orleans 1, Washington 2, then Nashville, then Indianapolis.
Stuck inside. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Either have sex or watch Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Or
I mean, both. You're stuck inside. You have nothing to do.
Or in my dream world, both.
So, you know, there's definitely a lot of factors. I wouldn't be surprised if next year the total viewers would go up, but the rating goes down. I mean, I think this rating, this 45, is pretty significant. It's competitive game all the way through, so that means that the average viewers per minute stays high. If you have a blowout game, then the overall rating crashes because, you know, the last half of the game, people tune out.
Right. How much higher do you think the rating would have been if – well, just real quick, how much higher do you think it would have been if both teams were undefeated?
I think it would have – I mean, I think that definitely would have boosted interest. You have to look at you're mostly trying to look at the casual viewers who are going to jump on because, you know, every NFL fan is going to watch. So this year we had Katrina. We had, you know, Peyton Manning being, you know, kind of emerging as
going back
what
to his hometown
would say
and
is
all
the
that.
Best quarterback ever.
Yeah.
Not true, but anyway. you know, you had
There's
the
that bias I keep accusing Nielsen of.
I'm in the Fred Kirsch camp.
There you go.
You know, you had the Haiti thing with Garcon and Vilma.
Right.
I think there were a lot of good subplots, and I think, you know, these weren't big markets. That's the funny thing. It's not a big market.
Right, the two teams. Yep.
You know, one last question I'll leave you guys with. Of the six Super Bowls the Patriots have been in, which one had the highest rating as a percentage?
Highest rating as a percentage?
Probably Super Bowl 20.
42.
Because of the Bears. That's why I say that.
Chicago, yeah. I'm going to say the second one that they were in against Green Bay.
I'll say 42, undefeated season.
Okay.
What's
so
the answer?
The answer is?
I don't know. You
it
have
it. Actually, it was actually the... I think it was Eric who said Super Bowl 20.
Yeah.
The Bears, huh?
It had a 48.3 rating.
Wow.
Which was actually kind of knocking on the door of that 49ers one. Huh. And in terms of viewers, obviously the Giants one was the highest. But,
right.
So just wanted to throw that in there. But All right. Love the show.
Thanks, Peter.
Take care, guys.
We'll cue you up for lunch.
All right. Pete from New Jersey. Some good insight on the rating.
So I was
television
right.
Ratings
25,000 people decide what they say everybody was watching.
All right.
I mean, how many hundreds of millions of people in this country and 25,000?
I'd be 300 million family. I got to get on that.
I wouldn't.
We got a lot to do.
I'd fall asleep at 8:45 and it would shut itself off.
No, I'd get Northeastern basketball and porn. Yeah.
Imagine that.
They drive the ratings up.
That you went to channel, 622, which is porn, were there for 32 seconds and then went back to Northeastern.
That's all it takes.
All right, so we got a lot to do.
And
on
then
the
you
show.
Went back 10 hours
what are you,
later.
A marathon man.
We still need to talk about commercials, but we also need to talk about Eric's story that broke on Patriots.com.
I thought you were going
to
say
not
something.
My story.
I thought he was going to say Eric's sweater.
Well,
not
he's,
my story.
He's wearing a blue crew neck, by the way.
Blue.
So Eric's story that Navy. Broke on Friday got a lot of buzz. Continues to get a lot of buzz in what people think about what the story was about, and we have a lot of emails. So we'll be right back.
So, Pat, what time does our flight get in?
It says here American Airlines Flight 505 gets in at 7:05.
Perfect. Game starts at 7:30. I suppose you know our gate number, too?
Yep. It says so right here on my phone, Brian.
Yeah, you think you know everything because you have one of those smartphones.
What's wrong? You're jealous because I can check AA.com, get flight info, gates and times, pretty much anything flight-related?
I like to keep it simple. You know, that's how I roll. I'm old school. So I travel with one of these.
Brian, that's a cordless phone.
Right. No cord.
From your home.
That's right.
How's that working out for you?
To be honest, the range is somewhat limited. But only when I travel.
Find all the flight info you need for the big game or the big meeting at aa.com/mobile. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
Don't go yet, sir.
But the light turned green.
Well, you don't go till I say so. You play by my rules.
My rules?
Ball start, loss of 5 yards, still first down.
What are you talking about?
Unsportsmanlike conduct, 10 yards.
Unsportsmanlike is 15 yards.
Move the chains!
You are a crossing guard.
Personal foul, 15 yards.
And stop blowing that whistle.
Think football, bank football. Get Patriots banking only from Bank of America. Get the Patriots logo on your checks, debit card, and your Patriots Extra Points credit card. Use Extra Points rewards to get tickets or even stand on the sidelines during pregame warm-ups. Plus, you get a bonus match on your Keep the Change savings. To get Patriots banking, go to a banking center or bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Delay of game,
but,
5 yards,
but I,
first down.
But you're not...
Keep the Change patent pending. Credit card programs are issued and administered by FIA Card Services N.A. Bank of America N.A. member PIC. Copyright 2009. Bank of America Corporation.
50 seasons of New England Patriots football. 3 Super Bowl championships. Endless memories.
It's good! It's good! Adam Vinatieri!
Live them all at the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon. Celebrate the greatest players, moments, and teams in Patriots history with sights and sounds that put you right in the action. Step inside the huddle as Tom Brady calls the plays. Go under the hood and review controversial calls just like a replay official. Learn the playbook from head coach Bill Belichick. Take your best shot at a game-winning field goal in the snow and let the confetti rain down while you gaze at the Patriots' 3 Vince Lombardi trophies.
Back-to-back, 3 out of 4.
Yes, it's a dynasty. And don't miss the 30-foot-high displays honoring the team's greatest players or the signature film showing the history of football in New England. The Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, is located next to Gillette Stadium in Foxborough, Mass. And is open 7 days a week. Call 508-698-4800 for more information or go online to thehall@patriotplace.com. The Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon. An unforgettable, exciting, interactive experience.
Tell them why they better run. Crawl, crawl, crawl. Stand up, hang
All right. Welcome back to PFW in Progress.
What is this?
This was a song that the New Orleans Saints played in the Superdome after their touchdowns before their kickoff constantly.
Okay, well, good for them.
And they're also performing live.
Played it a lot against.
I was going to say, we heard it plenty of times. I don't remember it, though.
This group's actually performing it live during their parade today.
For the record, the pyrotechnics sucked pregame. I don't know if you saw that. Like, the Colts came out, half of them didn't work. They were little sparklers, kind of like what you had out here for the playoff game.
So did you work the Super Bowl, Doc?
I did.
We had pyrotechnics at the playoff game.
You missed it?
No.
You may have blinked, literally.
Doc, do you know who played the postgame parties for the teams?
Snoop Dogg. He's been a big Saints fan his whole life. He's always a fan of every team that wins.
For Shizzle. I like it.
All right.
Snoop Dogg. Sean Payton had sex with the trophy.
Got a lot of topics we need to bring up.
Did you happen to see him yesterday during his
press conference?
With
the trophy.
He literally.
Really?
Yeah, he literally slept with the trophy, he said. But did you actually see that?
Again, I was wondering why his wife wasn't in bed with him, not the trophy.
Did you see him?
How do you know it wasn't? Score with your wife after winning the Super Bowl? I mean, are you really ever going to score?
How do you know it wasn't, Andy?
She rubbed up against the trophy and said, oh, Drew.
You know, we're laughing about this, but
Sean.
I bet you that's happened.
Now we have her committing adultery.
Oh, wait. Oh, I thought you said Drew Brees slept with the trophy. Oh.
No,
she rubbed up against the trophy and said, oh, Sean.
But it was amazing how bad
he
looked.
That would be a good book if you could put together that. Strange stories about the trophies. Because you know how the Stanley Cup
I've heard
gets
a lot
to go
of
everywhere.
Stories. Yeah. My old boss at
you
the Herald.
Use the, a woman could use the, you know.
All right.
My old boss at the Herald, his father was the director of security for the NHL.
He got to travel
when
with
he was
it?
Younger. Oh, he's been all kinds of stories about the Stanley Cup.
I love it when people
are
eating and drinking
know.
Out of it, but I'm sure there's gross ones, too. Like what? Give me one.
Oh, boy.
Beaten off?
No.
You put your hand down by your junk.
Boy, I'll tell you.
Urinating. Wow.
But why would you want to do that?
I don't know.
I can see the sex thing. Like,
hockey
you'd
players.
Have a story, but...
Because you have some immature 20-year-old hockey player kid who was like, laughing with his friends. Guess what I did?
I just throw it in swimming pools.
I could see, like, eating cereal out of it or pour yourself a bowl of cereal. Or, but why would you pee in the Stanley Cup?
You gotta go. Web radio at patriots.com.
So would I poop in it? Would I have an explosion of will?
I never heard anything about pooping.
Lord Stanley had a urination problem. That's
it's a well-known, a little-known fact.
That's right. Let's see. Christian from
Denmark.
Really,
we didn't talk about Eric's story.
I'm going to. I didn't want to
move. We're going to bury it in the second hour?
I didn't want to move off.
There's no coordinators. Move on.
I didn't want to move off the Super Bowl until... You know, I had read a couple emails. You know, I want to kind of keep it in sequence.
This isn't Super Bowl in progress. It's Patriots football week in
progress. We're going to talk at length about Eric's story
in the last 5 minutes.
And what happened immediately after the story.
Gotta hurry.
But we gotta hurry because we got.
Because right now, I don't think we should right now talk about right now Eric's story. We should right now talk about the Super Bowl right now.
Well, we
don't have to do pick this week either.
No, for next year we have to do our picks at the end.
That was funny.
Right, we need to evaluate last year's strength of schedule.
Finally, we can evaluate the schedule. It's over.
Look at Doc throwing bombs from inside the glass.
Getting killed by the Saints, not looking so bad. Losing to the Colts, looking a little worse because they weren't quite as good as we thought they were.
Christian from Denmark, yes.
Beat up by the Ravens. Still
it
looks...
worked. My deal with the devil worked. I owe him my firstborn, but Mr. Penis had lost. That's
I got another one of those Patriot-related Super Bowl thing.
Yeah.
You know how every time something's happened this year, people have come out and said, you still think they made a mistake punting, going for it on 4th-and-2? Well, that to me, the end of the Super Bowl was why you punt the ball. You make him go 75 yards, and he's a human being. He might make a mistake.
Right.
He made a mistake. Not in the first 30 yards, which was all we made him do. He made a mistake in the last 30 yards. Maybe that would have happened if we had done the same thing.
Alex writes in, I got to say I'm glad to see Peyton go down in this one. It keeps the door open for the discussion about who the best quarterback of the decade/history is. But more important, the way New Orleans won the game, unconventional, imaginative coaching, aggressive defense and offense, putting steady, relentless pressure on the supposedly unflappable Manning, staying with their strengths, such as the passing game, but being effective. Brees has a pretty high completion percentage in a game that really mattered, and playing 60 minutes of football really impressed me. Yeah, the Saints got lucky with that pick six, but on the subsequent Colts possession, New Orleans held at the goal line, even though they had a touchdown to give. So looking forward, Tom may be the best quarterback ever, but the Pats have a lot of changes to make, before they deserve to get back to the Super Bowl.
Can we touch on that coaching thing for a minute? Because Paul and I talked about this, the first thing we talked about Monday morning. It worked. They recovered the football. They gained a possession. They scored all that momentum. I don't think it was a smart play because the way the game was unfolding, you took the Colts' punches early. The Colts were moving the ball, you know, all those completions to Dallas Clark.
Right.
And then you would shut them down.
I thought they went
into
halftime with momentum.
You're giving them a chance to have a short field, a Peyton, you know, like the Patriots gave Peyton Manning, a short field.
Yeah.
I really think if the Colts score there, the game is probably over. And you took a risk you didn't need. And I heard everybody say, you know, if he knew he didn't have as good a team and you got to do things like this.
He went in like he was the underdog.
But
coached like he was the underdog.
At that point, you're not the underdog anymore. You're halfway
through.
You stood
toe to toe with them for
30
minutes.
And you're fighting it out, if anything. I think you have the momentum. You got the field goal after you made of maybe a mistake at the end of the half. I felt like he was trying to do too much. He was giving them stuff.
I thought there was a bad decision to go for it on fourth down at the end of the half that was bailed out by Indy's subsequent bad decision to run the ball three straight times. And I thought it was a bad decision to onside kick. Now, I have no problem with the way, the aggressive way he coached the game. That's how I want my team to be coached.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to leave many gun, you know, any bullets in the gun. I want to shoot them all. And he did. I don't think that particular call on the onside kick, just because it worked doesn't mean it was right. I don't think that was the right call.
It's definitely ballsy. It may not be smart.
He made it. He gave the Indy a chance to very easily gain control of the game in the second half.
Mm.
And you don't want to ever be out of control in the second half of a football game. You never want to be out of control, but particularly late.
You wonder what he would have dialed up had the Colts recovered, if he had something in the back of his mind. Look, if we don't get this, this is what we're going to do on defense right away. And we're going to even get even more aggressive.
Well, why wouldn't he have dialed it up after they scored to go ahead 13-10?
I don't know. I don't know. I'm just wondering. Anyway, David from Low Cash.
And I disagree, by the way, that New Orleans dialed up a lot of pressure on Peyton Manning. I don't think they got any pressure on him all night at all.
He seemed like he had plenty of time. That wasn't the problem.
Yeah. Slight rant here. This is a popular time to rip Peyton Manning, Mr. Penishead.
Yeah.
I've never hated him the way you and all these fans do. I've grown to hate one thing. When there's a false start,
me and Andy also agree on this one.
Or even
when the whistles blows the play dead.
Throws a bullet into the ground.
He throws the ball straight down into the ground.
Almost like when there's a screen and the defense has it sniffed out and you throw it right at the running. He does that every time, and it's driving me ballistic. I also think he's a poo-na-ni for every time a guy comes anywhere near him, he just takes the sack. And it doesn't happen a lot, but, you know, he doesn't take hits. Part of the time is because he's a poo-na-ni. He just falls down. I like guys. He's a big guy. He's not Drew Brees.
6'5".
Drew Brees got thrown down like a rag doll by Dwight Freeney because he's little. Peyton Manning's a big dude.
Yeah.
Take a hit every once in a while. Don't be such a pansy.
It's the
game of football.
I don't mind the sack thing as much as Andy does, but the other thing does annoy me. It reminded me of the Celtics. Whenever anybody takes a shot after the whistle, whoever's the closest Celtic always jumps up and goaltends it. In other words,
you made fun of me for not liking
that. You're not
scoring.
No, you make fun of Garnett.
Yeah, like Garnett started that.
But it's only his
fault. He started
it.
But he brought it here.
Everything
is false bravado. It's false bravado.
No,
just like Peyton Manning is false bravado. He thinks he's this great time manager.
I don't like it.
When it's on the line, he caves.
But I don't like it for a
different. He's a limp penis.
I don't like it for a different reason.
He's a flaccid man.
I don't like it for a different reason. I think it's wasted energy. That's why I don't like it. When you're in the mid-30s, you don't need to be wasting your energy.
Let's see. David and Lopez.
You know from experience, 15
exactly.
years ago, you wasted a lot of energy.
Exactly.
I'm so glad the penis-headed wonder lost his crown as the new czar of quarterbacks. He was a choker in college. He's been a choker in the NFL until the game he beat the Brady in 06, then the Bears. Jesus, I think I beat the Bears in 06. Congrats to the Saints. One hell of a game. The national media is still getting on my nerves. They are talking like Breeze is the new Montana. Great game, cute kid.
No
okay.
target. Hey, let's get the band back together. We got a new guy to root against next year.
He got a day and a half of we love you, we're glad you won, and now we rip it.
I like this, though.
This is.
Will you let me finish the email?
But there's no wonder we're completely hated throughout the country.
Oh, stop it. They are talking like Breeze is the new Montana. Great game, cute kid, okay. Win three and call me when you have a Brazilian supermodel.
That's it, right there. That's why everybody hates us.
He won't have a Brazilian supermodel because he's not about that. He's real.
I may be a bit prejudiced, but I'm pretty damn sure Tommy is the best damn QB in the last 10 years and maybe the best since Montana. I'm sorry to see Acra goes. You did a hell of a job. Mr. Kraft needs to promote Eric to Shop Talk. He has a natural gift for fashion. P.S. Sam in Chicago, if you want to meet a real man and not a kicker, hit me up.
Who's this, Clubber Lang all of a sudden?
Dave and Locash.
Hey, woman.
Locash is.
Hey, woman.
Locash, or is that his description?
That's probably what he is.
His life
low
right now.
Cash.
She ain't going to want no part of that.
Let's see.
Does Peyton Manning have kids?
I don't know.
That's a good question.
Let's see. First,
I've seen them.
Doc, I haven't either.
Doc, you need to get some Rocky clips for this show. We reference Rocky all the time. You need to do that.
Paul's,
to get on that.
Paul's favorite emailer, William Berry, writes in, first Bill. Let me apologize to Eric. I'm being mean or truthful so Fred can read this and say it wasn't him. Really, Eric, I could care less about your lifestyle, but this might be the best way to get an email read. A genie offers you, Eric, this choice. The Patriots will win Super Bowl 45, or you get the perfect partner of whatever gender you choose. Which do you take?
The latter, obviously.
Okay, let's end
this team. This team has won Super Bowls. I haven't.
Back to the Super Bowls.
40-year-old virgin. Same
not
bags,
quite,
but
bags,
close
bags, of bags of sand.
Then he wants to have any info we have on the lockout. We'll talk about that later. So I don't want to get.
What
into
are we going to talk about now? Everything has to be later.
Well, the lockout isn't something we want to talk about today, is it?
No.
Strippers, who was nice enough to buy us lunch, points out a nice story
enough,
on Pro Football Talk
gave him a plug.
About how the Colts only had 11 people meet them at the airport. One of the quotes from the people there, we still beat out 30 other teams, added Marilyn Couric, Lebanon, who wore a Colts cap and scarf to fend off the 27-degree chill.
Loser.
Yeah.
I think that's 11 too many, to be honest with you. I think those people need to get a life.
Well, they're bandwagoners over there.
I don't remember anybody meeting us when we came home from 42.
Oh, sure they did.
Oh, yeah, they did.
Oh, sure they did.
They
at
did.
At the airport?
No, but here at Gillette.
No, that's different. I don't remember anybody being at the airport for us. And
well, they're not allowed
to. Nor should they have been. I was very happy with the greater Boston fandom that day.
Chris from Stanford.
Get a life.
I feel like I have a lot to say, but I'll make this quick because I'm sure there are a lot of emails. Happy for the Saints, and as much as I respect Manning and most of the Colts organization, I was happy for Polian-hating Pats fans like me. I thought it was interesting when Coach Caldwell broke out the Polian quote that, quote, you don't get a trophy for the regular season. No one knows that better than the Colts. That's right. Oh, it's so good. I just love to see Polian's face.
I have to admit that's a nice byproduct of this, Freddie. I tend to look at it from the Saints' perspective. I'm happy for the Saints. You, on the other hand, are a miserable SOB. So you look at it from the other perspective. I'm happy for the Saints.
I'm happy for the Saints, but I'm also happy that the Colts lost.
See, that doesn't give me any extra little thrill that it gives you. You've been floating around
because,
for 2 days now. It's unbelievable.
Because you have made a decision in your life to not get emotionally invested unless it has to do with Northeastern.
Loser.
You know?
I just couldn't
you're
be
not
any
a real
the
fan
truth.
Of the Patriots.
But it's different. We're not really allowed to be emotionally invested anymore.
Yes, we are.
No. Listen,
as long as we don't yell in the press box.
You want to give me my salary and let me do all these radio things and stuff like that, but tell me I don't have to cover the games and I'll be emotionally invested again on Sundays.
So would that mean you wouldn't like Bill Polian?
Why, I already hate Bill
Polian. And you'd be happy that the
I told
Colts
you
lost?
That was a nice byproduct of the loss.
See, this is fun to
I
me.
I just don't hate Peyton Manning like you do. I'm sorry.
Wait a minute.
I don't think he's a bad guy.
So who said anything about Peyton Manning?
You call him penis head.
That's just a joke.
The term of endearment.
Yes. Right. Andy calls you fat. That doesn't mean he doesn't like you.
Yeah,
no,
but
I do
think
it to
I'm
his
fat.
Face. What?
I
think he looks
face.
Like a penis.
And you're telling me that's not meant to be a derogatory term?
No.
Okay.
Napoleon's
oh,
a
I'm
different
sorry.
Story.
I misunderstood.
Let's see. Mike.
Polian, I hate. I'm with you.
Peyton looks like one. Polian is one.
I hate that he calls us the Patriots, and I hate him.
Mike from Maine, probably the most stress-free and enjoyable fourth quarter of the Super Bowl in my memory. Saints came through for me, even though I was prepared for the Peyton heroics. Sorry, Colts fans, but as someone who has been there, you will be able to listen to sports radio again in March. And
yeah,
by May,
that's true.
We'll have talked yourself into Peyton we trust again. Good luck with that. Time to move on, since I keep hearing about the uncapped beer issue with the Wilfork-Brady contract situation, I think it is time, and he wrote beer twice, I don't know what that means, I think it's time for all good PFW listeners to step up and get these guys signed. I would propose that we all actually subscribe to PFW.
Yeah.
And that Fred get Bob Kraft and Bill Belichick to give Vince and Tom their requested signing bonus. Fred can get this done. Sort of like Pledge Week at PFW. Ring the bell for a new subscriber and save Vince and Tom.
Damn right.
So.
Well, it would be more like saving PFW if you do that.
Right.
And I'm all for saving PFW.
I am too. The lockout could hit hard.
And home.
Yeah.
Let's see.
And we'll need beer, so maybe that's why I called it the lockout beer.
All right.
TG and NJ, once Fred has calmed down and stopped celebrating the Colts loss, I got a fun game question.
All right.
The kind Paulie likes that you guys might want to talk about instead of the usual banter about Fred's unbuttoned shirt, Andy's total lack of decency, or Squidward's friggin' sweaters.
Fred's shirt is buttoned today, by the way.
I can't take credit for it. Heard it this morning on Sirius NFL Radio. It was Howard David
who
asked it, but I wanted to pass it on to you lug nuts. Who will get their second Super Bowl ring first? Peyton Manning, Eli Manning, Drew Brees, or Brett Favre? Of those four.
I would have to go Peyton.
Probably Peyton.
Really? Yeah. I say Brees.
I'll be not picking them to make the playoffs.
I would have to say Peyton.
So you think they're going to have the post-Super Bowl slump?
I don't think they're
I'm just going with the
They're not going to get all the interceptions
I'm
and
going
the big
with
plays.
The best QB of that group.
They really need – well, yeah, I would do that too. But they really need to upgrade that defense if they – I agree with Andy – they had one of those years where you force a million turnovers, and you need to get better. I think the Saints are a very, very good football team.
Yeah.
But I think to play the way they played this year and expect to win like that again is, yeah. I think,
I've never seen that play.
Hard to imagine.
Al from
fullback,
Big
Al
from
left,
Georgia.
Dan Reeves, I believe.
That was Dan Reeves that threw that pass.
Yeah, with the big neck collar and everything.
That play took a long time
to Lance Allworth, I believe.
Yes,
right?
Allworth.
Yep.
Big Al from Georgia, great day for football and for the Saints. The game effectively ended when Dwight Freeney's Novocaine wore off.
May be true.
Yeah, it's a good point. An additional benefit of recovering the onside kick to start the second half was the Saints forcing Dwight Freeney back on the field right away, not just the Saints making Manning wait another series. Ready for my Bill Polian story?
Well, that kind of goes both ways.
Just had a half hour.
Some argued he was had too much time,
right?
And more time would have been even worse. The more it tightened up, the more it stiffened up.
Because they had that long halftime break, don't forget. It's longer than normal.
Right. Before Dick McPherson coached the Pats, he had been at the Syracuse.
Yes.
While there, he had a wide receiver named Rob Moore, who redshirted as a freshman, completed his classes in time to graduate in 4 years, and then requested a
supplemental draft.
He had not wanted to declare for the normal draft to protect his eligibility, not wishing to assume he'd pass all his finals at the month after the draft. Well, Polian was with the Bills then, and he put out a bunch of statements that summer how Moore had supposedly abused the system. I sent a couple of clips from the local paper to Coach Mack, and he sent me back a letter that you could tell he had typed himself on a manual typewriter. Well, the letter started as follows. I consider Bill Polian to be a friend of mine. But then, following that polite opening, Mack proceeded to call Polian every expletive deleted known to modern man.
Dick McPherson?
Yeah.
He's a God-fearing man.
Guys, I've been in the military, active in reserve, for many years, and by then, I thought I had heard them all, but old Mac even taught me a few new ones at Polian's expense.
That's a great story.
If I can dig it up, I'll send you a copy. I think
you'll like it. Yes,
just don't put it in the paper.
No. Well, it doesn't sound like we could if we wanted to, but that's a great story.
That is
about
a great
Hall of
story.
Fame.
Dick McPherson, I think his brother was actually a priest. I mean, he was known to be
devout,
a very spiritual guy. I'd be very surprised to hear him talking like that.
Wow.
So, all right.
Remember he called me? Coach Mack. Hey, Paul, Coach Mack. It's kind of like your Nick Saban.
Did he really?
There wasn't a half-hour delay in between Andy and Nick Saban. I think Dick McPherson's still alive, yeah. Dick McPherson's alive, right, Freddie?
Oh, sure.
Is that one of your... Is that one of your...
Oh, wait a minute.
His face is like... Is that one of your oh, sure, so you really have no idea?
He says oh, sure, and then he looks over at us with this
quizzical
look.
All of a sudden, I had that dead or alive thing going. I don't know.
Doc, can
Dick
you look
McPherson.
That up for us? Dick McPherson.
I know he was... You know,
yeah, we did Memories of Foxborough
Stadium. And if you're listening,
Stadium.
Sorry.
The first year we did the Memories of Foxborough, it was the 40th anniversary, my first year.
Next phone call we get. Hi, is Dick from Syracuse?
And then he
is still alive.
Yeah,
he is.
So.
Okay.
Does a radio show in Syracuse for
really?
Football.
Yeah, see?
I called him, and he got back to me 10 minutes later. And said,
really?
Paul, Coach Mack.
Coach Mack.
Okay.
Chris with a TIN. Great day on Sunday. I'm so happy the Colts didn't win. More happy, however, that Bill Polian does not have another championship. Screw you, you old blowhard. As for Manning, as much as I hate him, I do respect him, and I did feel a tad bad for him, just a tad. Team of the Decade, well, the NFL Network took care of that argument when they aired their Best of the Decade show over the weekend, proclaiming the Pats the Team of the Decade. I encourage you guys and any Pats fans to watch. It's a must-see. It's an hour-long show, and it's well done. As for the Pats, I have a huge problem with no official coordinators. I mean, we talked about Belichick, head coach of the New England Patriots, being spread thin last year. Well, what about this year? I'm very worried going forward. What about you guys? We're going to talk about that at length in the next hour.
Sometime in the future.
No.
Not now.
I just want to...
lying your ass off.
Justin from Drakett says, you may have seen this in Bill Simmons' mailbag on ESPN, but someone from Iowa wrote in and brought up a good point.
May not.
Do you people realize that if Rashay Caldwell could catch, Peyton Manning would still be without a Super Bowl ring? Now, Peyton Manning is a great quarterback, but that certainly makes you stop and think how close he is to having no Super Bowls. I was happy to see the Saints win, but I, like Fred, was happy to see the Colts lose. Keep up the good work. It's nice to have something to listen to during the offseason. All right.
Forgot about that Rashay Caldwell drop.
Yeah, I don't think that cost him the game. But
no, but
I do. Yeah, see, the only difference I would say is you're happy that the Colts lost and that the Saints won. I'm just happy the Saints won. If the Colts played pretty much any other team in the NFC, I probably would have rooted for the Colts strongly. I mean,
certainly if they played the Vikings.
See, you're not a true Patriots fan. You cannot call yourself.
No, I would root for the team that I like more.
If the Giants had played,
I would have rooted for the Giants.
I was thinking the same thing the other day.
If the Vikings had played, I would have been rooting so hard for the Colts.
I was just going to
say,
you read my mind. I was thinking in my car the other day, what NFC team would I have rooted for less than the Colts?
I don't like a lot of NFC
teams. The Vikings were the only one I could come up with because of Brett Favre.
But you were going to root for the Colts over the Saints.
Right.
If they were undefeated.
What? No, that was like right after that game. Remember?
That was the emotion talking?
Right. That was right after the game.
I think this was before they even played the Saints.
Yeah.
But I think you're wrong on that. But I'm not going to argue with you.
Yeah.
There's a lot of teams.
I would have been rooting
The Saints are a very likable team. And the story behind them was just beyond anything that any Hollywood guy could even dream up. And that's why I think it's a great story. The one thing that I sort of felt cheated about, and I said this to Andy yesterday, it kind of stinks when you're watching the game and you're legitimately hoping for good things to happen to both teams. Like, you're not really caring who wins the game. It took a lot of the enjoyment of just the competition away from me. I was kind of rooting for the Colts, and I was kind of rooting for the Saints. I didn't really care who won. When the game was over, I was thrilled for the Saints. But I didn't really care. Whereas,
don't you go into every game, no matter what level of sport it is, and try to pick a side?
Yes, absolutely. And that was my problem this week.
But sometimes you have to try. Sometimes it just happens.
You have to force it.
I agree with Paul on this one. I was rooting for the Saints, but I was kind of rooting for the Colts, too. I don't hate the Colts.
But last
year, I'm forcing myself.
You don't hate Bill Polian?
No, I respect him.
Like, I had a little of it last year with Pittsburgh and Arizona. Arizona is just this little team that never was good, so it was kind of easy to kind of root for them. But I really like Ben Roethlisberger, kind of like I like Peyton Manning. And I was rooting for Roethlisberger to win, and it was kind of one of those situations last year. I found myself more rooting for Pittsburgh because of it.
This is like treason. You're rooting for Pittsburgh. You're rooting for the Colts.
I was rooting for the Cardinals last year, Fred.
But you hate Roethlisberger.
Right.
Fred, you hate everybody.
But,
you're not really.
And I don't hate anyone.
Let me ask you a question.
You hate everybody.
Answer this honestly.
No.
Do I hate
Personally.
Ben Roethlisberger? Has there been
no,
anything?
No, you hate Pittsburgh.
Exactly.
Right.
Right.
You hate everyone.
I hate
that's my point.
But I've never said anything bad about Ben Roethlisberger. And in fact, I say he doesn't get enough respect.
You said he's better than Brady.
No, I've never said that.
No,
said something along those lines when I said he's got two rings. He's on his way to being better than Brady.
When I give you his contract, you'll be saying he's better than Brady.
What does that mean?
Because he makes too much money, according to you.
Who?
Brady's going to want more money than Roethlisberger.
Ah, stop.
And you're going to be saying that, he's not as good as Roethlisberger. Roethlisberger won two Super Bowls since Brady's won the last one.
I think he should probably get more than Roethlisberger.
Okay. Really? That's big of you.
You know?
Way to go out.
The greatest quarterback in the league.
I'm fine with Peyton Manning. I'm fine with Ben Roethlisberger. I hate Bill Polian, and I hate Pittsburgh overall.
Right. You hate everybody.
You hate everybody.
I have a reason. I
know you don't.
It's part of the part
no,
of
you don't.
What is your reason for hating Pittsburgh?
No. Part of the fun of being a fan is creating those reasons why you hate the other team. That makes it fun. It's
you really
fun.
Hate him. It's not fun for you. You hate.
Right, but
in the context
so don't make,
of
sport,
it's not a WWE style. You hate him because he's the bad guy. You hate him.
But don't make fun of me because the teams that I have
you
generated
hate
that
anybody because you don't have
not,
you don't have
true.
An emotion of emotional investment.
I hate Minnesota and I hate Brett Favre.
Okay, so there's one.
So don't make fun of me because the teams that I generate hatred for aren't the same as the ones that you do.
Any team that the Patriots are going to play often, you don't want to get.
I hate the Jets.
I can't go out on a limb.
I hate the Jets, and there's nothing that would have made me root for them in the Super Bowl against Andy.
Paul doesn't
have
an opinion about anything.
Nothing. Yeah, I know. I lack those.
He just doesn't like to go on.
You know what I'm talking about, right?
I wouldn't root for the Raiders either.
He doesn't like to extend himself.
See, this is what I'm
chances.
My point that I'm
I'd
trying.
I'd pay to see Al Davis up on that podium accepting a trophy right now. Lord only knows what would transpire.
The point I'm trying to make is I generate fabricated hatred alive. Just like you do. It's just not for the same teams that you do. But you claim that me and Andy don't have passion. It's not passion. We just have different. It's differently placed.
The teams that I do are the teams consensus-wise that Patriots fans do, because I am Patriots fans.
I hate the Jets. Is that not a Patriots rival?
No, that's
the Jets?
One of them. That's
I hate the Dolphins. I wouldn't root for the Dolphins against anybody.
But how you can say you would ever root for the Colts is beyond
because they've never
really
done anything
it's
to
beyond
me. When I was a kid and I formed these stupid thoughts in my head and my biases,
right.
The Colts were irrelevant.
Yeah, but what I'm talking about the last decade, Paul. Everything's
that's
changed.
Different. There's nothing like when you're a
there
kid.
Are team, there,
I don't have the
same
passion
you,
that I did when I was
I know,
15.
But, Paul, the same way you felt about the Colts, people used to feel about
or
the Patriots.
Same hair.
They were nothing. The Patriots, they'd never done anything. How can I hate the Patriots? There's no passion. But now people hate the Patriots. And that's a good thing.
That's because
that's
of
what
you.
You want.
They hate them because of you.
They want us. They hate us because we're so good.
No, they hate them because of the friends.
I agree. You want to be hated.
Sean
says you're not irrelevant.
Sean says he agrees. It sounds like treason.
What's treason?
Rooting
for
you
the
guys
Colts?
Rooting for the Colts for
I was indifferent. I wasn't really rooting for anybody.
Preston says I don't care what he says. Paul is not a true fan of the Patriots, and no one else is either. If they would actually root for the Colts, I don't care who they play. Even if it was the Detroit Lions, I would not root for Manning. See, he
well,
has a reason.
But in the Vikings I wouldn't be rooting for Manning. I'd be rooting against Favre.
I don't understand that.
There's a difference.
Because I don't hate Manning and you do,
hate Manning.
Well, the emailer just said that. Oh. I wouldn't root for hate Manning against anybody.
The emailer just said that.
That's the only thing.
All right,
I'm certainly not rooting for Peyton Manning against the Patriots,
right.
Red.
Right.
Why do you hate Polian?
Lay it out
please.
For me.
Please.
Give me three bullet points. Go.
Because he's just an arrogant SOB.
That's one.
I agree with Fred on that. He is an arrogant guy. He's condescending.
It has nothing to do with his ability as a GM.
No, he's great at what he does, but he's arrogant.
So you're going with... He's our a-hole theory with Belichick.
Yes.
Because they're the same person. The exact same maniacal, genius, competitive, great NFL minds. They're the exact same person.
I'm not
but
even
he's ours, right?
No. Bill Belichick is twice the human being that Bill... Well, 10 times the human being that Bill Polian is. So.
What?
God, don't strike him dead.
Webradio at Patriots.com is the email address. 508-543-7482 is the phone number. Okay. It's 106, so let's start talking about this story that Eric wrote on Friday.
I'll tell you who I hate, the Boston Globe.
Well,
I hate
we're
them.
We're going to get to this. So
can we all agree on that?
So the genesis of this thing
is... that treason?
Eric, you had planned on writing a coaching story for this...
For the coming issue,
for the issue that just came out today of Patriots Football Weekly. By the way, 1-800-494-PATS to subscribe, or you can buy it on newsstands near you in New England. Anyway,
or www.pfwonline.com.
So you requested access to some of the coaches, and... Instead, they supplied you. They handed you some quotes.
Right.
So, it's not like you did a lot of journalistic digging or anything. They handed you some quotes, and we decided, hey, let's not wait for the newspaper.
Paper to come out.
Let's get
it
out
on
Patriots.com.
Right.
So the story was about how Belichick has decided not to hire a defensive coordinator. Instead, he's going to be taking more of an active role in the defense.
Right.
Among other things, quotes about Corin Brown and about all the other assistants. But basically, that's going to be it. That's going to be the coaching staff for this year.
That's the main news item from
that,
from that
news.
Story.
Yeah. The moment that posted, PatsFans.com and Reese tweeted it out. That's big news. People want to know. And I think the consternation among Patriots Nation here is that – you like that?
Good.
That, the perception was Bill Belichick was already spread too thin. How the hell does this help?
Right.
Dean Pease leaves. He was the DC. Now there's none. Now there's no OC. They're not going to name Bill O'Brien the offensive coordinator.
It doesn't look that way.
In title.
Not in a titular sense.
Yeah, in title. and there's no DC in title. So
there's an HC.
If you thought
there's
that
no
Bill,
TE.
If you thought that What's Bill that? Belichick Tight was ends. More, look at Peter King from a long time ago. Jeez.
It's Peter King.
He looks like a pig.
He looked like he was just texting.
I never knew
Porky's,
he had red hair.
He? He's got red hair. He's pink faced. He's fat. He looks like a pig.
Anyway,
how dumb is Peter?
If you
King?
Thought that Bill Belichick was spread too thin before, this doesn't help.
No, not at all.
So it got a lot of buzz. I mean, all that night, Friday night, I was taking the kid back and forth to things, and
the kid.
That's
it's
all.
Like Rocky again, the kid.
That's all I heard on the DA show was this consternation about how is this good?
Well, because I think people's expectations were that given what had happened with the defense over the last few years and especially this year with the big leads that they lost in the second half, the lack of creativity, so-called, on the offensive side, people started thinking, well, maybe it's time to bring in some new blood.
Right.
On the offensive side, I think people expected that there would be at least names that you'd recognize that would be brought in to help change the way this coaching staff is assembled. And when that didn't happen, I think that's why some of the people were upset about it, because they were expecting one thing and got another.
And here's what I'm going to throw out. Is our perception reality? Has Belichick been spread too thin? Or by doing this, is he actually telling us, I should have been paying more attention to the defense. I didn't pay enough. I let Dean Pease do to it. Because let's face it, Dean Pease didn't quit on his own. All right? He left and took a lower job with the Ravens, to be their linebackers coach. So it's not like this was less mutual and more of, look, Dean, we're not going to have you as DC. So, obviously, Belichick was not happy with the way the defense was run.
I never said that.
In 2009. So.
But was he happy the way the offense was run? And was that with him spending a big part with the offense?
And I think he's saying, yes, I was happy. I think this is saying, yes, I am happy with Bill O'Brien. They're not going to make him OC, but...
Why?
Well, one of the reasons might be why... The sooner I name them a coordinator, the sooner they get on the radar of other teams to be a head coach.
But does that foster a good environment to work
exactly.
in?
Exactly. Every
if
team
your coach
has
is doing things to undercut you.
Every
he doesn't
team
want
has
you
coordinators.
To succeed. He doesn't want you to move on.
Every
he doesn't
team,
want you to
yeah,
be.
Yeah, no. And I think eventually the guy will earn that right to be a coordinator. But I think Belichick, might want to take his time with actually giving him that title.
I really hope that that's not the reason that this is done the way it is. And exactly,
that's lousy.
One of the things that Andy said is one reason. The other reason is if you really think that's going to dissuade a team,
they're not stupid.
People are going to watch the offense, and they're going to understand, who's calling plays, and they're going to be impressed or they're not going to be impressed, and they'll figure out what they're going to do. It's not going to have anything to do with the title.
Plus, the
much like Bill says, he's not into titles. Neither are other people who are watching. They're going to try to find out who's responsible for what.
Right. How do you find that out?
The coaching community. Well, the coaching
Bill
community.
Bill O'Brien calls the plays.
The coaching community.
Yeah, but that's not all a coordinator does. A coordinator, that's part.
And, Fred. And
there's other duties of an offensive coordinator besides game day play call.
So if he was the offensive coordinator, the other teams wouldn't have any more clue as to what he's doing then, if you're going to base it on that.
I mean, last year, we all thought. Maybe we were right. Maybe we were wrong. I don't know. Bill O'Brien's calling the plays, but Belichick's running the offense.
No.
You didn't think
No. I don't think he was happy with the play calling at times, and I think he took it away at times.
You do?
Yes.
Yeah.
Do you have proof of that?
No.
But why do you think that?
Because there have been reports out there that have indicated that.
See, I never had any indication of that. I thought that...
There have been reports that three different guys called plays at various times during the year.
In 2009?
Yes. Add Nick Caserio into that.
Jeez, I never heard that.
I didn't report it, but I have read reports about that.
It has been reported.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, I never...
And I also, and this is number one thing to me as to why I don't think it's what they wanted, is that there were too many guys that have been trusted parts of the media for the Patriots, guys that have been there for the team. Mike Reese, Glenn Ordway, Teddy Bruschi now, even though he's a one-year guy, Fred Smirlis. Local guys who have very rarely been overly critical were critical, outspokenly critical, of Bill O'Brien after the season for about a month. And then all of a sudden, he's retained. To me, that tells me they didn't find anything that he wanted.
But on this show, and I think that, myself excluded, but you guys have a pretty good pulse of the team. That's what I pay you guys for. You're at every game. You're at every press conference. You're in every... we refuse to go down that path of blaming it on the coordinator.
Right. I absolutely have. You know, I haven't had anybody telling
Fred Smirlis doesn't do what you guys do. Glenn Ordway doesn't do what you guys do.
No.
You guys have a better insight into the team. And I don't think, you know, Bill O'Brien's play calling was the problem.
No, I don't. And I'm not saying that was the case. I'm saying I thought Bill O'Brien's role in the demise of the offense was wildly overstated. I think the problem with the offense was personnel. That's my opinion.
I agree.
Okay? But there are other guys that don't criticize without someone telling them they want criticism sprinkled out there that were criticizing. That's my point.
Yeah, I think that was just the easy. I think that happens with every team. The offense doesn't score, you know, the play calling. You know, it's just,
but Paul's point is these people don't,
generally do that.
Follow
I know.
They had to say something. Especially the guys in the Big Show.
No, they don't, because they went years without saying anything.
Right. The guys in the Big Show. Yeah, Glenn and Fred don't criticize unless it's in the Patriots' best interest.
Yes, they do.
They would argue Lawrence Maroney didn't fumble the day after he fumbled. That's what they do.
Look, there's no doubt that the offense was a disappointment.
I heard them arguing yesterday that they didn't lack a third receiver. Julian Edelman was fine. I heard them passionately saying that yesterday.
Oh, my God.
I heard that.
Passionately, they were yelling at a guy who claimed that Pierre Garçon was a good solid third receiver. You want to get a guy from a Division III team that's in the sixth round? Is that going to satisfy you?
No.
Well, but if he's
a seventh round quarterback,
but if he's as good as Pierre Garçon, that will satisfy me.
What they were arguing, I heard that too, and I was kind of rolling my eyes. But what they were saying is that, you know, the guy on the radio was saying how the Colts went out and got a third receiver, and they said no, they got a sixth round pick and they got lucky.
And they said that Julian Edelman was better,
right? And they said that the Patriots could have gotten just as lucky had Edelman not hurt his arm.
Right.
I don't agree with that. Okay,
right. That's an example of the way they act, unless they're being told to act otherwise.
I think the Patriots with Tom Brady should go after a top-notch third receiver.
Sure,
you know,
of course.
You know,
we've been arguing
that
for months.
Whatever. But I do think that they had to say something. I think that Bill O'Brien
is the
easiest.
Why did they have to say something?
Because no one could say that I was happy with the offense last year. They wouldn't even lose as little face as they have.
No,
they'd even lose that.
But why does it have to be about play calling?
Right.
Because
why can't it be about the personnel?
That's what everybody says.
But they don't do that.
But they don't do what everybody says. Matter of fact,
reactionary fan way.
They're ridiculously countercultural in that way. They go way opposite what the conventional wisdom is.
I know, but if what you're saying is true, that they don't say anything unless not explicitly asked to say it, but hinted.
They have conversations.
Then why is everything still in place?
Because they couldn't find anybody that they felt was better.
On offense?
Yes.
Well,
that's
do
my
you think
feeling.
It's a sign of respect or whatever that he didn't get the coordinator role? I mean, doesn't that show that they're not happy? They're not quite to the level that Josh McDaniels
everybody
called
else,
plays.
Everybody else
and
that had
promoted
an apprenticeship,
to coordinator.
Right? Every other guy that had a 1-year apprenticeship.
Right,
got the title the next year.
So
this is
doesn't that
impressive.
Mean he wasn't as good as they wanted him to
be? Again, and now Bill Belichick is going into his 11th season. He kind of knows the organization. He knows his team. He has his way of doing things. You know, it's not like every year they're reinventing the wheel. You also know that you got Tom Brady. Tom Brady is basically a coach on the field, okay? So maybe he's thinking, okay, rather than bring somebody in from the outside who's got to learn our ways, who's going to have his own opinion – I'm satisfied and confident in Bill O'Brien and Tom Brady. Now, if I didn't have Tom Brady, all bets are off.
No, that's fine. But why doesn't it say Bill O'Brien, offensive coordinator?
Well, they did kind of leave the door open to make further changes in the offseason.
Right.
Why the hesitation?
I don't know. That's a good question.
That's all I'm asking. Why, in regards to Bill O'Brien? If he called the plays last year, he's going to call the plays again. The system is the same.
Right.
Tom Brady's as good as a coordinator working together.
Right.
All that, I agree with all of it 100%.
Right.
I love Bill O'Brien.
I know.
Everything I've ever been told about him,
okay.
He's a smart, young,
because
intelligent,
again,
offensive-minded coach.
Let's look at
but
this.
But it doesn't say coordinator.
But let's look at this. Okay.
There's got to be a reason.
Yes, and I'll give you maybe one, okay? Again, calling plays on Sunday is not the only thing a coordinator does, okay?
Right.
We have on this team an assistant coach in Dante Scarnecchia, who's on the offensive side of the ball. Perhaps the Monday to Saturday duties are shared. Maybe
He's the assistant head coach.
Yeah.
Assistant head coach. He's already got a title.
Assistant head coach. So maybe he does as much of the coordinator job as a coordinator would do. So you don't really need an offensive coordinator right now.
Then why was Josh McDaniels coordinator? Scarnecchia was the assistant head coach offensive line at that point, too.
Maybe he learned from that mistake.
But we could come up with all of the what-ifs that
He's
we want.
That the record-setting offense mistake?
Let me just ask.
Josh McDaniels was the offensive coordinator.
On this team.
We don't have to continue this, but let me just ask you, I want you to be as honest as you can. Do you really believe that that's the case, that Dante Scarnecchia is the offensive coordinator?
No, I didn't say that.
But he's organizing the offense.
I said that
he's
definitely got a hand in organizing the offense.
You think that's why they don't have an offensive coordinator? Do you honestly believe that?
I think in evaluating, do I go out and do a search for an OC or, you know, looking at my team, I've got Dante, I've got Bill O'Brien, who I'm confident in. I've got Tom Brady. Again, without Tom Brady, everything I'm saying is thrown out the window. Rather than bring in somebody from the outside, I'm good.
But we
I'm
didn't
good.
Say bring somebody in. We said name
an offensive coordinator. If you chose not to bring someone in, that's fine.
Right.
But if don't you think people...
But if I'm going to bring somebody in from the outside, he's going to be the offensive
but
coordinator.
We didn't
he's going
to say
do the
bring
things
in.
That Bill O'Brien's doing, that Dante Scarnecchia is doing.
No, because Dante Scarnecchia is staying.
Yeah. Yeah.
Plus,
well,
he's
maybe,
an offensive line coach.
Maybe Bill
O'Brien... But regardless of that, even if you think he's the key part of the offense, he already has a title that's above.
Right.
It's assistant head coach.
Yeah. Right.
He's the number two coach on this
that's
team.
That's right.
Yeah. I agree.
That's right. So
why isn't O'Brien worthy
maybe,
of the same transition Josh McDaniels was in year two as play caller?
Because besides play caller, maybe I don't think he's up to the rest of the job.
Well, then you're in trouble. Because with you overseeing the offense last year, you just said you're going to go oversee the defense
because you
year.
Didn't listen to what I
then
said.
That's
because
why,
the rest of the job is being shared. And he said that in Eric's story.
Right, and that's why.
By who?
And
the
that's
same
why
people
I
who
don't
shared
think,
it last year.
Eric, why don't you...
And that's why I don't think this is good.
Okay, but Eric, why don't... In the story,
it wasn't
said,
good enough last year,
have,
and you brought the same guys
we
back.
Have
No. If we're going by the letter of the law, you're removing Bill Belichick from as significant a contribution on offense as we believe he may have had last year, correct?
I don't know. I don't know that.
Oh, well, okay. Then he's spread too thin if he's doing everything he did last year and adding
he
way
says
more on defense.
I mean, he sort of hinted that he would be more involved
right.
in defense.
That's
no,
what I
did.
Read those quotes
he did.
As.
He did.
So you're
but
removing
he,
something from offense, well, not well, adding well, well. To it.
He said he'd be more involved with the defense, but he didn't say anything else that he'd be less involved
okay.
in.
So last year when he was taking 2 hours to jog laps, he's now putting that on defense. I think he was pretty
know.
Busy last year.
But Eric, mm-hmm. he talked about shared responsibility, right?
Yes, he did.
What did he say?
As far as Bill O'Brien in particular, he said, Bill O'Brien has demonstrated excellent leadership and organizational skills in our offense. He's a sharp and passionate coach. It's a good mix on that side of the ball with Bill working with some extremely experienced coaches in Dante and Ivan Fears, the running backs coach, who've been here my entire time in New England, and some of the more recent additions to this staff in Chad O'Shea and Brian Ferentz.
So I think he feels that I've got a good mix of guys who get the job done Monday through Sunday. On that side of the ball, I don't need to bring somebody in.
And then as far as
can
the titles,
you erase bring somebody
can,
in?
Can
from
we
your
end?
Mind?
Can I just end this whole thing and just I want to ask you a simple question? And there's no right or wrong answer because it's strictly opinion. Do you think he looked into adding to that staff?
Oh yes.
Okay. End of story. Yeah. I don't want to talk anymore.
I don't think that they
he looked to improve it.
Yeah,
and couldn't.
They leave no stone unturned. But at the end of the day, he made the decision. You know what? I know what's out there. I know what I've got. I'm going to stay with what I've got.
And wait. He had someone he thought was a lot better who wasn't interested in coming.
Who?
I don't
well,
know.
We don't know, but that's a
Pat
possibility.
Hill.
That's a possibility.
Maybe
yeah.
Pat Hill. You Maybe know. You try to lure him
Urban
from Fresno
Meyer.
Yeah. to be
Pat
his
Meyer.
Offensive coordinator.
Yeah.
Pat Meyer.
I mean, Urban Meyer, Pat Hill. You, who knows?
So they're going to look for an offensive coordinator again next spring. Next
I don't
winter.
Know.
That's why you're not getting it.
I'll guarantee you they're looking for an offensive coordinator again next
year. That's the bottom line.
The other
you didn't give
you
him the title,
for,
and you're still looking if you didn't get who you want.
And
go
it,
ahead,
may, it may end up being Bill O'Brien, but I'll guarantee you they will look for an offensive coordinator again next year.
And the one you were looking for, Fred, titles are fine, nothing wrong with them, but the most important thing is each person's role, that we do everything we can to help the player succeed, everyone collectively getting the job done.
Right.
Okay.
And I think
that's
he's
how he
happy
explained
with
away
how,
what they did this offseason.
I think he's happy with the guys they have in place collectively doing that job. I think as soon as you give Bill O'Brien the title of offensive coordinator, he is just that. Now he's supposed to do what an offensive coordinator does, and now everything that he's been working with collectively is underneath him. And I don't think O'Brien isn't ready for that, or he doesn't want to upset the apple cart right now in the stage of Bill O'Brien's career.
So when Kevin Faulk is upset in his role next year, who does he go talk to?
I don't know. Probably Belichick. you know?
So you don't think that's a bit of a problem?
You don't think the other 31
teams
have...
that's always been the way it is?
No, I don't think it is. No? I think he would have gone to Charlie Weiss and said, Charlie, what the F is going on with my role in the office?
And then if he doesn't get an answer, maybe
then
he goes,
maybe
to,
he goes to Bill. Or yeah. then maybe Charlie goes to Bill and says, listen, Falk's not happy, whatever.
Yeah.
But I don't think that's... I think these guys don't know who to go to right now. I think James Sanders didn't know who to go to last year because I think Dean Pease was a weak-willed defensive coordinator. I think it was always perceived that Bill was the coordinator.
Yeah.
And I think now you have that on both sides of the ball as an entirety of a team.
Well, I don't know. I mean,
I think there's also something, the theory that Paul just proposed about maybe they looked outside and couldn't get the people that they wanted to come here.
But does that make you feel good about the offense?
No. That's why
okay,
I said
that's or the defense.
That's why my feeling, my overall
see,
feeling on Friday afternoon wasn't a good one.
You can sell yourself on a defensive genius named Bill Belichick is now going to oversee my defense.
But he's
because
doing,
last year he was overseeing the offense.
Right, but he was doing...
I can't get happy about the offense on any level.
But he's doing that and being head coach and being GM.
Except that I personally believe Bill O'Brien's a pretty good coach, and I think the offense will be better this year because I think he'll be better.
Yeah.
But I don't see why it's fair that he's going to be better. He's the offensive coordinator, but he doesn't get the title.
Yeah, I agree with you.
And he'll get the blame.
No, I agree with you. He's certainly got the blame this
based
year.
Based on these quotes, Bill has said, I'm going to be working on defense. So if the offense sucks in the first 4 weeks,
don't
you know who they're going
to
criticize? They're going to criticize Bill O'Brien.
They criticized him last year.
Right.
My feeling
so
isn't
he either
about,
sucked
so
and you don't want
difference?
Him to have the job, or he's good enough and you want him to have the job. But you don't want him to have the job, but you're telling us he's good enough.
Yeah.
That's what you're doing.
That's
you're telling us he's good enough for you, but not good enough to have the job.
Yeah, that's why Friday afternoon when the dust settled and the story was posted and everything, my feeling wasn't a good one. I feel like they wanted to make some changes, and aside from Corwin Brown, they couldn't settle on anybody that they liked. And that, to me... You
who,
know,
by the way, is assisting in the secondary.
Assisting the secondary coach.
So he's not even – anyone who thinks maybe, you know, he was a coordinator in college, maybe he's coming in to have a big role, he's assisting in the secondary.
Well, they couldn't give him a title yet because he'd be
because we don't believe in titles around here.
He'd be taking somebody's job. He's really
– used to believe in titles when we won titles.
You know, he's an addition to the staff. He's not replacing anybody, Corwin Brown.
Right.
And you know, Corwin Brown,
well,
I remember
kind of replacing Dean Pease.
Well, but he's not the D.C.
No, but he's replacing a guy who coached last year.
In terms of numbers, he is.
Yes.
But not in responsibility, right?
I have no idea
apparently,
what D.C.'s responsibilities were last year, because you have taught me that I can't just assume that the defensive coordinator is running the defense.
Dean Pease had the title. Dean Pease had the title of defensive coordinator. I would assume he was doing something to earn that title.
But as Andy said, Corwin was a DC in college,
right.
So people, when the release
first
came out
first,
that said he was a defensive coach, people thought, well, does that mean he's a DC?
Well,
does that mean he's a position coach?
High-level assistant coach,
right.
So you everything?
My first
assistant head coach like Dante and
my
a position
first
coach?
Thought when
Who
they
knows?
Brought Corwin Brown in was that he would be DC in waiting. He would be here a couple years, and eventually, if things worked out, he'd become the defensive coordinator. That's what my thought was.
Could be.
I know that Belichick has always said that he's a very smarter players that he's ever been around. You know, he could probably get respect in the locker room. We talked about that before. You know, so, you know, that was my...
Sorry, Fred. There's a billboard that they're showing on Fox with a picture of George Bush waving, and it says, "Miss me yet?"
Right.
He doesn't find it funny. You have no sense of humor.
You don't.
You, know,
you
so,
don't.
So,
can I change the subject
the
a little bit?
Make that
sticking with coaching, but kind of a, I don't know. Do you think that do you think the decision to not have an official defensive coordinator has anything to do with not wanting to ruffle feathers of the loser?
Yes.
You know, between Matt Patricia and or Pepper Johnson. Specifically, if you named
That's
Patricia,
a good point too.
Do you think they'd lose Peppers? Pepper.
Oh, Christ. Everybody knows
it. Pepper Johnson. Do you think they have a chance? They would have a chance that he would say, you know what? I've been here 10 years. You're passing me over again. I'm out. Do you think that had anything to do with it? That's sort of been floated out there.
Yeah,
that's
it's
why
been floated
it
out. It could, but don't you think that if you're Pepper Johnson, you know what's going on anyway?
No.
You know, like Patricia's the one always in the meeting with him one-on-one. I'm not.
Oh, but
you know.
is that what's going on?
I don't know. But how would if Patricia really
if that's what's going
on,
I agree. No, I agree with Fred. I mean, you know, tone aside, if that's what's going on, then Pepper's not dumb. He knows that Patricia's the defensive coordinator, but they just didn't give him the title.
But
Fred, I have another question.
But Pepper is still here.
Right.
Even
he still got passed over one way or the other.
Right.
He got passed over.
And
right,
he would
but I'm
walk
saying,
if he felt slighted, he'd walk.
But
I'm
two
saying,
guys got passed
right,
over. Doesn't mean none of them did.
He could have been upset a couple of years ago when he didn't get the title, and he
but
had
now
a
he feels like he's ready.
He had a chance to walk then too.
Right.
But well, I think more chances he's going to walk one of the days.
Yeah. And he's had trouble. Bill has had trouble.
It's been 10 years now.
Maintaining his staff.
Yes.
A lot of guys have been leaving, and it's not just getting poached.
You're such a child.
You know.
With his staff?
I mean, like Brad Seeley, you know, you lost a coach last year. It wasn't because you got poached.
Well,
by
that
somebody.
Had money. That was money related.
Yeah. He's Maybe. Losing members of his staff.
Do you think, Fred? You just brought up Pepper and he's the golden boy, Matt. And do you think Bill?
He's in the meeting.
Sat down with the defense and said X, Y, and Z. This Dean's left. This is what we're doing. You're going to do this, or just kind of goes business as usual. You continue to evaluate the defensive line.
The first any player found out about us by reading Eric Scalavino's
that's
story
what I'm
on
wondering.
Patriots.com.
Or they
coaches,
find out about
or the
this
coaches themselves.
In the statement on Patriots.com?
I don't know. I would like to think that, you know, he talked with his staff. About.
Do you think he did?
I think he did.
I think he did, yeah. You know.
I am very much unsure.
As much as they care about the media, I would think they'd be savvy enough to know it's not good for my own people to read stuff in the media first before they hear it from me.
I agree with you.
Plus, I don't agree with that.
Plus, I think it's not good for just the working environment.
Don't roll your eyes at me. I've had too many assistant coaches at the combine from this team tell me I never know what's going on. Generally, the first I find out about it is in the papers.
Well, it's like our little group. You know, if Paul doesn't have the editor title and he doesn't have and Andy doesn't have assistant editor and I don't have my. How do we know who's editing and who's deciding on?
I never know anyway.
I mean, you kind of know based on the way we work, right. But if there's that uncertainty, you're waiting
that's
for someone.
That's just because I'm a tremendous communicator.
Eric, that's a great example. On Friday, we do the issue generally.
Mm-hmm.
We show up. We know that I'm going to find pages on my desk. Right. I read them. I put them on Paul's desk. He reads them.
Fresh
set goes to Fred. The paper is done. Do Matt Patricia and Pepper Johnson and Corwin Brown, do they know exactly walking in the door how it's going to work? Or is there some, I know what I did in the past, but Bill never really said anything, and Dean was involved, and now he's not, but Bill is involved.
That's kind of why I think Bill had to tell
them. Didn't show up on a Friday, obviously at some point you'd pick up the load. Mm-hmm. We've had that happen. But we communicate. Yeah, I got a wedding. I'm not going to be
Speaking
here.
Speaking of which, the next issue, I won't be here on the Friday or the Monday.
There's a shock.
Just saying.
What are you kidding me?
It's the post-combine issue.
Oh, you'll be at the Oh, wait. You don't go to the
combine. No, but it's the post-combine issue.
And he won't read the combine issue.
So we'll be writing the whole issue anyway.
I'll be in Richmond.
Oh, jeez. Oh, my God.
Just saying. CAA talk.
Abe writes in from Long Meadow. Seeing the Pats have had their coordinators' pockets picked four times over the last decade, Weiss, Crennel, Mangini, McDaniels, is it possible that Belichick's new strategy is to remove the title and thus the spotlight and notoriety that goes with it?
That's Fred's theory.
I don't agree with that.
It'll be tougher for opposing.
It's over.
And he doesn't think that's
fair.
If
that's the way you work, that's not going to bring you good quality coaches who are going to do a good job thinking that if they do a good job, it'll be rewarded in the right way.
Besides, I think that's the positive working environment.
I think that's the major downfall of it is the bad working environment, but I also don't think it will be effective because I think that other teams will recognize good talent.
Again, the coaching community, especially in the NFL, is such a small universe. Everybody knows everybody. Everybody talks. Just because you're not working with a guy doesn't mean you don't know what he does on another team.
Right.
And you're not, and that doesn't mean you're not going to tell the people in charge of your team.
That's my point.
He's a good coach. He should be a coordinator for us.
So we're left with two options. Either you like Bill O'Brien so much, you're hoping to gain an extra year out of him by not making him coordinator because you don't want everybody else to know you like him, so he ends up the head coach in Oakland in 4 years. Or B, you really don't like him.
No.
You really don't want him your OC, and you're going to keep looking for an OC.
There's a third option. I like the system that we have in place with the shared responsibility.
Well, it's unique then around
to
any football team in the world.
I don't understand yet why you have to change the responsibilities if you're changing titles.
You're not. I'm saying that we don't need a guy to have the job duties of an offensive coordinator.
But this is a new philosophy.
It would be new.
And it would be flawed.
It would be inevitable. How do you know?
Because their offense wasn't that good last year. The entire season they searched for an identity. There was no consistency. There was no backbone to the offense. I heard all the people who are in the pro-Patriots bandwagon ripping the offensive coordinator, the predictable play calling, all of that.
Right. So
we're not coming off 2007, and it worked so well.
And you're buying that.
But I'll
buying
forget
what?
I'll forget
you're saying last year's problems had to do with the coordinator.
I'll forget about the coaching.
Thank
you. No, wait a minute. I'll forget about the coaching and leave that out of it. You can't get beyond the production.
No,
it wasn't where it was supposed to be.
Right, but you think it was personnel.
I do.
Yes.
But that doesn't mean that it was they didn't overcome it the way Josh McDaniels did in 06.
Well, you know, I think it was personnel too. I don't think it had to do with play calling.
So then he's good enough to be your coordinator.
Right. We're not talking necessarily about play calling.
That's right. Again, a coordinator's duties is not just calling the plays on Sunday.
And how do you know that was
and my guess,
do you know what Bill O'Brien's responsibilities were on Sunday last year?
And my guess is that those other duties of a typical offensive coordinator during the week were shared among several people on this team.
Okay,
and
you
Belichick
like that.
Liked the way it worked.
And differently you, did you
than
like
when,
it?
Wait, differently than how they were
problem.
Shared with the team.
You like the fact that they couldn't score in the second half?
That has nothing to do with that. That's personnel, Paul.
No. That's not just personnel.
I think it was.
It's not just personnel.
It
that's
wasn't.
Part of it. That's my biggest reason, but doesn't mean I'm right.
No, but it doesn't mean you're wrong either.
But I don't understand what was so good about what worked so well
maybe
that has you sold.
It's not a matter of it was the best thing that ever happened on a football team. I just don't think it was worth going out and changing.
Okay,
but so you think they blew it up when Josh left? You think they totally changed the way things were done?
I think Bill started thinking about that. I think he started.
So they
saying,
gave
you know,
every guy got new responsibilities.
You want to know what I think? I think Bill has run out of guys in his inner circle to give these jobs to.
No,
run out of guys with experience in his system to give these jobs to.
Well,
but you honestly believe like Dante took on 10% more last year? Ivan Fierce took on 10% more. Chad O'Shea took on 10% more.
I think they had to.
You know, maybe if he can get Schwartzy fired up in Detroit or something, maybe he comes back and runs the defense.
I think they all
maybe,
had to
maybe
do a
finally
bit more.
Kirk Ferentz
and they didn't
and
do that when
Hill
Josh took over for Charlie.
Anymore.
I don't know about that, but you know, I do know that I don't know. I'm guessing that they changed the way they did things a little bit last year.
Well, you have to wonder why, though, don't you?
Yeah, I think that Bill
because things worked pretty well when they had a definitive offensive coordinator. Calling plays and managing the offense. They had a record-setting year in 07.
See, if you're right, I can't imagine that if they said maybe they changed the way things were done last year, I can't imagine they thought that those changes were for the better.
Yeah.
Just based on the results. Right. I just can't imagine that.
Well,
because if they didn't really need titles, then why would you need a running backs coach or an offensive line coach? Why wouldn't just everybody be an offensive coach and they all work together on all the positions?
If you're just going by results... The Detroit Lions should get rid of both of their coordinators. You know what I mean? It's not fair to do that.
Did they do a better job than their predecessors? I don't know.
But it's just not fair to say, okay, the Patriots are 10-6.
No, I'm not talking about the results in terms of wins and losses. I'm talking about what we're talking about offensively. Yeah. Couldn't get a first down when they needed to get it.
Right.
All year that was a problem. Couldn't score in the second half.
But I just don't.
Couldn't run the ball when they needed a yard.
When you talk to the players, it's all about being tougher physically and mentally. It wasn't like. You know, there wasn't any, like, indication, like, you know, I don't know what they're doing on the sideline.
Well, do you really expect them to call out their coaches?
But they
on any team, but on this team in particular,
Thomas, who's going to say that?
You would get hints.
Just to throw your words right back at you that you want me and Andy to go up there and be, you know, Sean Payton-like balls at post-game press conferences. Bill tells us every game that the coaching needs to change.
Wow.
The coaching needs to get better.
You know what, Fred?
He's been saying that since 2000.
But Fred.
And what do the players say? We need to get tougher. That's their coach speak for at the end of a game.
And
they
also,
can't say the coaching doesn't know what they're doing.
And also, the guy who did kind of say that, Adalis Thomas,
guy
who's on his way out, but he feels safe in saying that because he knows he's on his
he's
way
on
out.
His way he's out. Trying to get out.
Right, but, I mean, there might be a little something to what he's saying, and he's not afraid to say it out in public because none of his teammates are going to say it because they're going to get in trouble for saying it.
Well, I think that, you know, you look at both sides of the ball, offensively, you know, which is, you know, one of the issues that the main issues of last year, you got Tom Brady. I think that changes everything. The fact that you have Tom Brady, you know, Belichick might be saying, you know what, I don't need to give somebody the role and responsibilities of offensive coordinator on this team. You know, things, you know, with the shared responsibility that we have with Dante Scarnecchia being, you know, on this team.
Okay, I hear your argument, but Joe Montana was at one point considered the greatest quarterback of all time and of his generation.
And Bill Walsh was the offensive coordinator who was also the head coach.
Right. And the defensive coordinator, I assume, because that's what we're doing.
But, you know, the point is.
That's what we're doing?
On this team.
It's very common, Fred, for if Bill were the defensive coordinator on this team, his area of expertise, the road he came up through, that is very common. Doing both, not having either, not very common.
Right.
Well, I don't know if.
Except with Bill Belichick, who did it in Cleveland as well.
My point was all the great quarterbacks who have ever been considered that had somebody who was their definitive go-to person.
Right.
Tom Brady doesn't have that right now.
Right. Do you really think that when
you
Josh
really think
was
that's
here,
the best way wait, to organize the
I,
offense?
I know Josh worked well with Tom when he was here, but do you really think Josh was Brady's go-to person?
Yes.
Yeah, I do.
You would see it on the sidelines. When he called a timeout,
well,
he would go to him.
Well,
Bill would be in there,
Bill,
too.
He went to Bill O'Brien last year.
But you're saying that that there doesn't need to be somebody specified as that go-to person. There does.
Look again. You keep forgetting what I said. The roles and duties of an offensive coordinator go beyond game day play calling.
Right.
I think
yes.
He's very happy with Bill O'Brien calling the plays on game day. That will be Brady's go-to guy on game day. Okay. He will have a guy on the sideline to go to on game day. But I think during the week, the rest of the time that an offensive coordinator earns his salary and his title will be shared.
But don't you think if that's such a great way to do to create a work environment, don't you think some other genius coaches, and there have been plenty of them through the years, don't you think they would have figured that out a long time
ago?
Well,
you know, one of the things about
high school, college, pop, every coaching staff has those specific titles for a reason.
One of the things about the NFL, it's getting more and more rare for any head coach to stay with a team as long as Belichick's been with this team. And I think as the longer you stay with a team, the more you have your systems in place. And I think that, you know, operations become refined. What took, you know, 4 hours 4 years ago might only take an hour to install now because of, you know, the refined system. And I don't think that Belichick would say, I'm putting myself at a competitive advantage by doing what I'm doing this year.
But if they weren't losing playoff games in the first round at home and missing the playoffs the year before and losing the Super Bowl and losing it, if they weren't in this downward slide, I don't think people would be questioning the move at all.
Right.
No question.
But
there.
They are right. going well, through this downward slide, and so people are questioning the motives.
And that's right. If it had been working, why? Well, what are you going to question?
But
right. You have to be bullish.
The last time,
that.
I mean, that, the only time things get questioned is when the results
but that's,
aren't. You
but
know,
isn't that
that's
right?
The whole, of course it is.
Right.
Of course it
I thought
is.
You were, I thought you were
no.
criticizing.
The
no.
last thing we heard.
Because even you're questioning things.
The last thing we heard from Bill Belichick before Eric provided quotes from Bill Belichick was Bill saying, I'm going to look at everything. I'm going to overhaul everything.
And I believe he did.
And
will continue to.
Saying, you're right, I understand. Maybe I don't have enough guys that are willing to challenge me. Do you think he now has more or less guys willing to challenge him?
Less.
Fewer, yeah.
And do you think Bill O'Brien would be more or less likely to challenge him if it said OC next to him?
More.
No, I think that the more these guys are on...
That's the right answer, Eric. Fred won't answer because he knows the right answer.
I think there may be two guys on staff that would have the guts to question him.
Dante.
And one would be Dante and
Ivan,
one would...
Maybe?
I was going to say Pepper. Because he's been around.
I think
but
Scott
I don't
O'Brien.
Think, oh.
You know... You know, I think special teams are important.
I'm not saying they're not important. I think you saw how important they were last year when
we
were
not Mike Martz.
We were terrible.
So he said,
"I'm not Mike Martz."
That's what I thought you
yeah.
said.
But I think that the longer Bill O'Brien's here, the more he will question Bill and
well,
talk
maybe
back.
He won't be here long if
but,
he's not getting.
I think
the things that he
I
thinks
think
he
Andy's
needs.
Point is a
you
valid
want me to take
one.
The heat, but not the praise.
Right, he's not going to question it as long as he doesn't have the
titular
the authority to do so, and he doesn't.
Well, I don't know that.
Respect my authority.
I don't know if Bill
I
says
think the only reason why I would throw Pepper slightly in that category is because of his long relationship
right.
with
He's just been
as,
around him
as
so
a player.
Long. Right.
Yeah.
When More you're around so a guy 30 else. Years, sooner or later you have to feel comfortable
yeah.
saying something.
And I could also see Bill saying...
Like we do with Fred.
Right. I could also see Bill saying, go over there and play with the scout team, will you? We're trying to put a game plan together.
Got one, need one, got two, need two.
All right. Let's see.
By the way,
just
I have
so
a
you know, you failed me miserably because I have been. I've been telling Paul I'm doing SPFW, and we got a lot of emails saying, "Can you please sell me on why this is good for the team?" And my response is basically, "I can't passionately sell you on why this is good. I don't think it's terrible, but I can't sell you on why it's great for the team. And you haven't really sold me on it yet."
Well,
can I ask you something too, Fred?
Yes.
You keep making a lot out of the offensive coordinator during the week. Kind of thing, the shared responsibilities. Well, how do you think it worked when Charlie Weiss was here?
I'm sure Charlie was in charge.
Of what?
Of the offense.
Of what? But like of calling plays or more than that?
Calling plays, installing the offense at the
See,
beginning
not,
of the
I'm
week?
Not sure of that.
I don't think so.
I think he called plays. I think Bill came up with game plans. Charlie implemented them.
Well, then if that's the case,
and that's
then,
what Bill O'Brien's doing right now.
If that's the case, then the whole thing about Bill being spread too thin is wrong because he's not doing anything different than he did in 03 and 04.
But I think he's doing right. more of the offense because I don't think Bill O'Brien is as experienced and good at carrying out what Belichick wants him to carry out as Charlie Weiss
maybe
was.
Maybe a year ago, but maybe now after this year, Bill says, okay, I'm ready to give Bill more responsibility during the week. As you know, he's got the help. I'm going to spend more time now with the defense because Dean Pease is gone. Maybe they had interest in Romeo, who's the only guy that they trusted, and Romeo didn't come.
Oh, I'm sure they had interest in Romeo. And you know? That's a good point. We didn't even talk about that.
And you know,
I'm sure they did.
But you know, given all the other alternatives, I feel better doing it myself, or at least being more involved than I was.
On defense.
On defense.
I have no qualms with the defensive staff. I think Bill Belichick is a defensive-minded coach. I'm all for him being on that side of the ball. My question is, what's going on offense?
Yeah.
I agree with Paul. Forever, Bill Belichick has been the heart of the game plan on both sides of the ball.
Mm-hmm.
But then I think he pulls away. So I think on Thursday and Friday, Charlie says, hey, I know you wanted to do this, but looking at the practice film,
that's
I don't think we're
going to
match
about.
Up. So I'm thinking we pull this. We might replace it with this and those five things. And I think Charlie had the leeway to do that. I don't know what's going on now. I really have no idea.
And that's a great point, Andy. And that's getting back to what Bill talked about in that last press conference with Eric and friends about the guys that had,
actually it was just friends.
The guys that had the willingness to question
like
him.
The one-on-one interview.
You know, the willingness to question something, and maybe under Charlie and Romeo, those questions came up on Thursday and Friday. Now, I don't think anybody's questioning it, and all of a sudden you get into the game, and that maybe that's why in the second half, maybe the game plans are initially working because the offense was, listen, the downfall of the offense was grossly exaggerated this year. We all agree that they moved the ball effectively almost every week, and they scored a lot of points. They just didn't
2,000 yard receivers.
The right time.
They just didn't score 30 plus points every game to make up for the defense the way they did in 07.
Right.
So I think that part of the thing that stood out was the second half shutdowns. And it happened every week. It happened in games that they won. They didn't do a whole lot offensively in the second half.
Yeah.
That tells me the game plan and preparation was probably pretty solid. But when it came time to sort of figure out what the other team was doing to stop the initial rush, I don't think maybe it was there. And I think that's when Bill can't do as much because he spread a little. I think this gets back to Cleveland.
Yeah.
This is what Bill tried to do in Cleveland. He was his own offensive and defensive coordinator at times, and I don't think it worked all the time. It wasn't a disaster.
Well,
Bill had some success in Cleveland, but not a ton.
But I think that there's a difference between doing it after 11 years with the same team.
You're right.
In the situation he had in Cleveland.
You're right.
You know, so we'll see. You know, but I understand.
I'm concerned. That's all I'm trying to tell you.
The first thing I thought was, whoa, you know, they're not going to bring in a DC. They're not, you know, that was the first thing I thought. But then, you know, I like I do.
You Fred Kirsch.
I sit down.
Between
and
Friday and Tuesday at noon.
I try to get off, with the knee-jerk reaction, try to get away from that because, again,
Which is exactly what the guys in the big show do.
I never fell into blaming Bill O'Brien during the season. I'm certainly not going to start now.
I agree.
You know?
Which is why I would
Just because I don't think that he was as big a problem as everybody else, I don't think that doesn't mean I in turn think he was outstanding at what he did.
They stayed status quo. That's the problem.
It's a production.
Everybody ripped the offense, and they stayed the same.
It's a production.
They didn't get better. They didn't get worse. Unless you think Bill was very much involved in offense, then they may have gotten worse because now he's very much involved in defense.
Bill in Vail, Colorado says, it's been a long time. The newest Patriots fan to the family has been keeping me busy. Congratulations. But I have been listening. Seeing that the season is over, it is good time to judge what kind of season we had. To sum it up simply, as I can so Fred will understand it, is they didn't have it. In our Super Bowl years, when regardless of who they played, they just looked different. Call it swagger, call it confidence, call it sheer will. We just didn't play with the intangibles, that we played with in those years. In Super Bowl seasons, we lost several players to injury, but still managed to play with it. Belichick was able to put John Q. Public on the roster to fill an injury, and we never missed a beat. I think even though Brady had good numbers this year, he still didn't have that aura about him that gave you confidence as a fan. The only thing another team could do was try and limit the damage inflicted by Brady and his journeyman receivers, Caldwell Jackson, and so on. Your thoughts? Yes, Paul, I know I am a moron. Speaking of Paul, a few shows ago, an emailer sent an over-under and asked the over-under whether Brady would win another ring with the Pats before he retired. Paul said no. Why is that, Paul? No shots at anyone today. I just wasn't feeling it. Thanks for the great job.
It's a tough call for me. I think he's starting to break down. I think we've seen the best that Brady has to offer. I think physically he's breaking down. That's, I hope I'm wrong.
Yeah,
believe me, I hope
staff
I'm wrong.
For 10 more years. Think they're going to be competitive? What?
Yeah.
What's that now?
Believe me, I hope I'm wrong on that.
Eric, that debate's over. That's.
I know.
Yeah, it is.
We won that a long time ago.
Because you removed Brady from the team this year.
Soundly trumped.
And you're picking in the top 10.
Right. Soundly trumped.
Yeah, I won.
And he thinks if Brady's not playing, Kevin Falk's going to be the quarterback.
Right.
You know? Okay.
No, I think any other quarterback this year, you would have been picking in the top 10 of the draft.
Blah, 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 blah.
Because blah, 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 you won 10 games.
Blah,
blah, blah, blah, blah, blah, blah.
Won 11 last year without him.
Yeah, it was the softest schedule since your mom.
But what if Castle came back and played like he did last year? You don't think they could have won 10 games?
Where are the Chiefs picking?
That's not what I said.
But it's what I answered.
I know. But it's not what I asked.
Isn't it? Troy Polamalu.
Apple pie.
No, my point is, aside from... I don't think the talent-wise, the New England Patriots and the Kansas City Chiefs were that different this year. I think the Patriots' roster was grossly overrated. We saw them with a weakened amount of talent at a lot of positions.
You think
Brady was a big difference.
You think Brady lifted them to 7 wins?
That's how many more games the Chiefs lost?
Didn't they only win 3 games? Four, maybe 4?
Okay, well, maybe I thought they won a couple more than that. But
maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they were closer to 500 than
I think
I thought.
This would have been like a 6-win team without Tom Brady. 5 or 6-win team. I think the quarterback is the difference in the NFL. I think he is.
I agree with that.
Yeah, depending on who the quarterback is.
But I don't think he was that.
I think when you lose to the Bills on opening day without Tom Brady, which you would have.
That's a very fair point.
You may end
that's
up
a very
5
point.
And 11 because it snowballs.
That's a
then you lose
that
to the
might
Jets
have been one of those, whoa.
You're 0-2. Oh, my God. We were supposed to go 16-0. Now we're 0-2. We suck.
Or butterfly effect. You lose to the Bills and it.
No,
but I think
igniting you without Tom Brady.
You'll never know, but I think the butterfly effect to go into play there is if you lost opening night at home to Buffalo, probably a more negative butterfly
effect.
You'd
be picking in the top 10, so you might want to keep Brady for as long as you possibly can.
Let's see. Chris from Germany. Look, I feel that there definitely needs to be an OC and a DC. Belichick wore way too many hats this past season, and there should be an OC and DC assigned. Josh had Brady's trust because of their connection. Think about it. When they met on the sidelines, they would occasionally chuckle, and it just sent the message that anything could happen. Da-de-da. Statue of Liberty, Flea Flicker, or challenging the Steelers, Smith, and shutting him up. That is gone now. As for a defensive coordinator, we need an identity. Even though Patricia has the seniority, Pepper could give us that identity. About personnel, those short yardage situations, what do you guys think of moving up to get Spiller or landing Gerhardt in the second round? I love it.
I would take Spiller, no problem.
Yeah, you know I love fullbacks, so I'll take Gerhardt. I'd like to add a fullback to the offense.
How many, just out of curiosity, and again, I don't have the stats in front of me,
six.
But how many times do you think, like in 2007, how many trick plays do you think we ran? Just like I guesstimate. You know, eight. Like that double pass against Pittsburgh that the email just
2007?
Mentioned. Yeah.
Six.
6 to 8, I would say, is an average.
Do you not think we ran 6 or 7 of those this year?
I think we did.
Flea Flicker against Tennessee.
Yes, we did. Of course we did.
You know, I think you do every year.
The play where Edelman came in motion, jumped under center, fumbled it.
Right.
You know, I mean...
You know, given his track record, they should run that again because he learns quickly. That would probably
that's
be a touchdown.
Probably a touchdown the next time. But, you know, my point is I think there's no fewer of those. They're just not as well executed.
And people complain when Weiss was here, they had too many.
Right. Tight end reverse against Denver. Worst call of all time.
Sean writes in, with all this talk about play calling, it seems that Manning does all the play calling. Why can't Brady?
Well, Manning doesn't do all the play calling. He audibles a lot. He has more
leeway. And so does Brady. Brady
does
too.
I don't think he does quite as much.
I don't think we can worry. I don't think one of the problems is Brady's preparedness or, you know, feel for the game. I don't think that's anywhere on the list of problems.
Robin in Alaska. This could mean regarding Belichick not
it's
naming coordinator. This could mean that Pepper or Patricia is the defensive coordinator, but not yet in name, like what Belichick did with Josh back in 06. This habit now of not naming an OCDC could just mean Belichick prefers to shoulder all the flack and not let it damage the opportunity he might be giving to someone who's not done it before.
Well, he wasn't shouldering the flack this past year when the offense was being berated for being too predictable.
Right. Because I just think that you can't help people. I mean, I've seen it in my entire time with the Patriots, people always blaming the offensive coordinator. I mean, whether it was Ernie Zampezi or Charlie Weiss.
So they didn't have an offensive coordinator last year, and who got blamed?
Bill O'Brien still got blamed.
Right.
He can't help
So if he has a great year and he's not the offensive coordinator, people are going to credit him, and therefore he's going to be an attractive candidate.
Well, you know, unless he doesn't do everything that an OC does, you know. You can't take what the fans say as the gospel. I mean, it never fails that they always point at the, you know, offensive coordinator. They don't know what really is going on.
Well, just so you know, if things don't go well, they're going to start just pointing at the head coach because that's the only place the finger can be pointed.
And I think that's fair.
We're getting closer to that day, and it won't be just the whack
here.
Jobs in week two.
No, it'll
be more and more of them, and they'll have good reason to.
If the Patriots continue to slide the wrong way, I think it's fair. That's the way this organization's set up. It's got one voice, and it's Bill Belichick, and, you know, that's it. That's what happens. TG and NJ says, Fred, it's okay if Andy and Paul are not fans. That's your job. I think it's better for the paper and the show that they are objective.
Woo!
You hit the nail on the head when you mentioned that being a fan is fun. Andy and Paul are not too concerned about having fun. Please don't expect them to start now.
Me, Mr. Serious.
Yeah.
I'll let you know when I have my first serious.
Well, the only
day.
Time you have fun is when it's at someone else's expense.
Yeah, potty humor.
Yeah.
That's not at someone else's expense.
Oh, no, that's the only time that you...
Someone says Richard and I laugh.
You know.
That's just at your expense.
We were talking about the coaching staff before and you laughed.
Well, Paul said Bill's staff was limp or something.
I didn't say anything about limp.
And then he said, and then you get poked. And
no.
Yeah, I mean, he was poached.
It's not fair.
I think you said poked the
you
first time.
You said
poached.
The first time you said poked, the second you said poached.
Maybe you guys thought I said poked, but I didn't say poked.
You said poked. Can you get the tape?
Sure, play
He said
it.
Poked. Play it. Bring that up. You want to bet $100? He stopped listening.
I will.
I'll bet $100. I'll do 50. You want to do 50 in there? He just ignores us.
Let's see.
I'm going to start swearing when he turns us off for 5 minutes at a time. You heard me.
Hey, what'd you
the
guys
look he gives him.
What'd you guys think of the Who?
Yeah, like he's bad
boring.
You thought it was boring?
Yes,
I thought they did a pretty good job.
Nah.
They're in your ballpark.
Yeah, I'm not. I didn't really watch it that closely, but I found it very interesting.
Were you drunk?
No, I get up and I do things.
Oh, okay.
He was eating.
I couldn't talk about the commercials either. I didn't see any of them.
What?
I thought the reaction, the diverse reactions. I've heard a lot of people say they thought it was great.
Yeah.
And I've heard other people say it was terrible.
Yeah.
Not really a whole lot in between.
Yeah. I thought
it was
fine.
Visually cool. I have no interest in the music. So
I did see that huge up there.
Yeah.
Huge
stage.
One
I did
of them's
see
a molester
that.
Or something, right? They couldn't put
Pete Townsend.
Oh, that's right. Is that right?
Yeah.
That's not really why they didn't have kids.
No, I don't think so. But apparently they did send out an email.
Yeah, I think that's
something.
That's a myth.
A group sent out an email.
Right.
Yeah. It wasn't like
it
FBI.
It
was an act, you know, advocacy group that did that.
That's still fine.
I'm trying to get more relevant current
I agree. Acts
to do the Super Bowl.
I agree.
There are a lot more exciting ones that could be.
Oh, I want to make my prediction for next year.
I don't like the
At Texas Stadium, it'll be George Strait, Jimmy Buffett, and Alan Jackson will be the halftime show.
You think it'll be a country?
Yep, it'll be country. And if I'm not mistaken, George Strait closed and opened both Dallas stadiums or something. There's some story there, so he'll be involved.
Now, okay. Will that be good?
I like George Strait.
George Strait's good.
Eric's
will that
not
be
a fan.
Good?
No. I just said I liked him.
I believe I'm just not
See
into country music.
See what I did there? Yeah.
I'm just not into country music. I don't like it.
Yeah. But
it's okay. I'm not into the Hue.
Kenny Chesney performed at the Saints postgame.
Did he?
Hmm. Oh, yeah, that's right. He was taking punts with them early in the year, remember? He was in the huddle and...
I'm not the guy to run those through because there's nothing they could put out there that would impress me.
He's smaller than you. He probably weighs less than you.
There's nothing?
And by the way...
The only show that I really like...
What if it was The Kids on the Block?
No. The 2001...
Because they're not new anymore.
The Kids on the Block.
Right. They're not new. They're The Kids on the Block.
The 9/11 product... The ceremony for 9/11 was remarkable.
Oh,
but it had nothing to do with U2 for me.
Right.
Everybody else thought U2 was the greatest thing they ever saw.
Were.
To me, it was all about the banners coming.
Right. Yeah, but it was U2.
And the good song.
It was unbelievable. Yeah. I didn't even remember the song. I just remember the production.
Overrated. Brian from New Hampshire.
You thought that was overrated?
What, the
banners? 9/11?
No, I think U2. I think you could have put a CD player out there. With
I agree.
Some,
it would have been the very same for me because I was just crying my eyes out watching those banners come down.
Unbelievable.
Oh, sorry, I'm patriotic now, and that's treason again. I can't win with this guy.
Brian from New Hampshire. Hey, PFW guys, I've never emailed in before, but I listen all the time. and love the show. Anyway, I ran into this website while on Facebook and thought you guys, well, Fred at least, would enjoy it as much as I do. It's called www.manningface.com. It has pictures of Peyton Manning and Eli Manning's faces after losses, and it is spectacular.
Print out from Doc here.
Is it real?
So, let me see.
Oh, yeah. You never heard of that?
No, it was a joke. They're real and they're spectacular.
Oh.
Nothing spectacular.
That's a Seinfeld thing, you know.
I
thought you didn't
I
watch
know.
Seinfeld.
I know. That's one of the three I've seen.
Yeah. He really does look like a penis.
No, he doesn't. The face thing is accurate.
Oh, please.
But he doesn't look like a penis.
This is absolutely a good reason to have a website. Because there's no
I'm sorry,
face like
I haven't seen
face.
A ton of penises. I may not be an expert like you, but my penis doesn't look like Peyton Manning.
That's true.
It doesn't.
Except for the fact it's limp, but that's, you know.
It's world class. It's the best penis ever.
It's limp at the wrong times.
What?
You know, like throwing interceptions in the fourth quarter.
What?
Anyway.
But he doesn't hate him.
Wouldn't
though.
He be a big stiff, so he's stiff at the wrong times or something?
Matt from
erections are 4 hours or longer.
Matt from Quincy says maybe next year they'll have Pearl Jam up there.
Oh, my God.
No, please,
that would be
Scott,
it for me.
No.
Well, who would be the band? Who would you want?
Lady Gaga.
Lady Gaga.
She'd put on a
great
halftime show.
Are you out of your mind?
She would put on a great halftime
show.
I agree with Eric. It's about the show. It's not about they've been great for 30 years. It's about the entertainment.
Right. Who
remember
was popular
the one with
at the time?
Britney Spears and they had like five different people and it was Aerosmith. They were bouncing around. That's what's entertaining. Not the Who doing their stupid, I can still swing
songs
my arm.
Songs that people know. Songs that people love.
Right. Upbeat. Eminem would be great.
I will say that I don't care about this, but why can't it be someone who may only be a, you know, a one-hit wonder, flash in the pan?
It can be.
Like,
Rihanna?
If you had Lady Gaga
Eric
up
loves
there,
her.
Okay, and 3 years from now, no one even remembers
Stay
who
stronger.
Lady Gaga is, who cares? As long as she's relevant when the halftime show goes on, who cares how relevant she is 5 years later?
Right. I think part of the halftime show is the build-up, is announcement who it is, and
people
getting people excited
love that.
About
right.
it.
Right.
You're
going to
pick somebody
that
who's
happened
hot
this
for 6 months. Lady Gaga was hot last year, like October when you announced Lady Gaga.
She's gone nowhere but up since she got
on
the scene.
How about like
Jay-Z people would have gone Gaga.
Yeah, that would be great. Or he mentioned Eminem. I think Eminem would be huge.
But they're afraid that they're young and hip, so they might show me a body part.
Eminem.
I was actually rooting for one of those old coots to pull their penis out and just flap it
Eminem,
around.
Eminem should have been
NFL what they're looking for.
They had the Super Bowl in Detroit a couple of years ago. That would have been Eminem's show.
You are such a closet homosexual. It's beyond
I actually
belief.
Said it while we were watching because everybody was like mocking it. Wouldn't that be funny? Because they picked him just because they're not worried that they're going
to
do anything.
But isn't that a very easy thing to
avoid?
The
old coot could be drunk and whips it out.
You sit down and you make them sign this ironclad agreement that nothing like that will happen or you'll pay me $8
billion. And it only happened once.
$8 billion.
I mean, how hard is it to make safe? How hard is it to make sure that that never happens
but listen,
again?
Listen,
right, I agree
but
with you.
Paul, even after the Janet Jackson year, Prince was the next guy.
Yeah.
And he had to sign that ironclad agreement.
Right. So what's the problem?
He did the thing with the shadow with the guitar, and everyone knew what he was doing.
Oh, right. I don't even know what the hell you're talking about.
And it was
about.
Such a controversy that you have three blank stares looking at you right now.
Oh.
I don't think anybody knows what you're talking about.
Oh, you know what he's talking about.
I have no idea what he's talking about.
And supposedly in the entertainment business.
Well, but the NFL...
supposedly.
The NFL feels they got lucky there, but they know that they can't trust these guys. Anyway.
Wait, real quick. Right, I don't want Julius Peppers anymore. I'm off him now. I'll tell you Thursday.
Okay, we'll talk about that Thursday. We got to go. I have to go to the bathroom and I have
to... Congrats, Saints.
We'll talk about it on Thursday. See you then.